And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
The Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, January 8th, 2013. I'm Doug Hagman. With me is my co-host, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. And ladies and gentlemen, you're about to hear 3 hours of unbiased, uncensored news, analysis, and information that we all need to talk about. We need to get out in the open. We need to discuss. These are very perilous times. We live in perilous times. We broadcast live, folks, each and every weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can find us on the Internet via HomelandSecurityUS.com. That's HomelandSecurityUS.com. And we also simulcast in high-def video when we are able to. Compliments of Christians United Broadcasting Network, an up-and-coming network headed by Troy, who's got a heart of gold, and I want to tell you, Troy does a tremendous work, and I want to welcome you, Joe, to the tonight's program.
Glad to be here. It's been a long day. We're trying to fix some things out.
Maybe we didn't. Well, okay. Let me and folks, please bear with us. The people who are listening live in the chat room. Can you notice any difference in sound quality?
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of complaints recently that the sound is a little muffled and low. We had a sound guy come in today, appeared to have fixed the sound, but we're not sure.
Well, yeah, we're not sure. So, by us talking,
sounds good.
Okay, does it sound muffled or does it sound muffled, tinty? Does it sound like we're talking through a handkerchief in the phone, as if you know we're trying to extort money? All right.
Thanks. All right.
Nice and clear. Yep. Not muffled. Sound volume's a little low. Better reverb. Where's the default player link? I don't know.
The default player link's always under the in the main show page for today. It is under the picture.
Okay.
Playing default player.
It's all over the board here. I don't quite understand, too. The responses are all over the board. So.
Yeah.
It seems like the default player in BTR.
Yeah, I don't know.
That might be a problem. Let's see here.
We're going to go back to our cups and string here pretty soon.
Yeah, that's right. Well, okay, we did have Tim from Raven Sound come in. Raven Sound is a local entity, and Tim spent some time here adjusting knobs and pushing buttons and then, doing all sorts of things that we didn't do, and then worked on the computers that we have here as well, spent some time and tried to get things rolling. And he was a listener to the program, and of course he wanted to say thank you so much, Tim, for all of your hard work, and thank you for coming and making a studio call. We really appreciate that, Tim from Raven Sound. If you are in the Northwest Pennsylvania area, Raven Sound, that's the place to go. Tim is an expert, and that's the guy. So. All right, Joe. Anyway, tonight we've got a jam-packed information, jam-packed show of information. By the way, folks, I did an interview on True News with Rick Wiles. If you have a chance to listen to that broadcast, it's tonight. He's got it up now on TrueNews.com. If you can do me a favor, if you did hear the interview, if you can just drop Rick Wiles a note saying, hey, appreciate the interview, if in fact you have, and certainly let him know you listened. We appreciate that as well. Rick is a great warrior for the truth, and it's just one of those things that we have to stick together. So I want to thank Rick and True News for all of their efforts and for allowing me to come on as a guest.
Yeah, and people said it was a good show. We listened to it. I got to listen to a little bit of it, and we'll listen to the rest when I get home.
Yeah. Of course, I forced them. I duct taped, you know, like that passenger in the Iceland jet, the jet going to Iceland, who the passengers duct taped him to the chair. I duct taped Joe to the studio chair here. You know, I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Joe was doing some research today. And a lot of times as investigators, we get tunnel vision, and a lot of times that we get onto a subject or a topic or an issue, and it's like a pit bull. You just can't get off. You know, we certainly don't, no one would accuse us of ADHD. Joe is looking into the various inconsistencies with respect to Sandy Hook.
Yeah. And that didn't start the day that way.
No.
I was doing something completely different. And I was taken off my track and put into this back, looking into the Sandy Hook situation. And I got to tell you, I'm more confused now than I was when I woke up. Things are not right. Things are very wrong here.
No.
And I don't know, I can't put my finger on it. I'm not going to say anything that I... you know, conclusive, because I don't know, but if I had to take a guess, I think people are being played with in a bad way.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with Sandy Hook, but something's wrong. Something is not as it, things are not as they appear to be. Now, look, it could be innocuous, it could be a series of things that just wind up to nothing, or it could be something much more nefarious. I don't know. Joe doesn't know. But here's the thing that we are tasked with. Tasked. T-A-S-K-E-D. Tasked with. We are tasked with getting to the bottom of things. And I think if Sandy Hook, or as Sandy Hook is being looked at as the hinge moment, if you will, in the gun grab, gun confiscation, gun disarmament of America. Wouldn't it be proper to make sure that all is what it is supposed to be?
I mean, we understand that news reports, especially very close to a situation, obviously change somewhat as the facts begin to, come out. But in this case, there are too many inconsistencies. There is no eyewitness witnesses that I've seen come out and say, yeah, you know, there's been no bodies shown. There's been no photographs shown. The kid that shot up the school was apparently there the day before. They have state-of-the-art surveillance equipment. He said he started an altercation with four people. I mean, there's just so many stories that poke holes in what the police say happened, and we see no proof of anything, kind of like the Pentagon. They continue to show the 9/11 Twin Towers being hit, but they won't release the, 70, 89 videos of the Pentagon that they have.
Much
they show the
yeah,
same.
The template is the same as it was in Oklahoma City in 1995 as well. They've got videotape, and they're not releasing it.
And a lot of people are saying, you know, fake crying, fake acting. I'm looking into that. But something worse could be here, which I'm not even going to mention right now. But if it's the case, it's... it's pretty bad, but yeah, there is a connection to some actors. There are outtakes, bloopers I've seen, very weird things.
And one thing that we have to keep in mind, a lot of this could be planted to send us down rabbit trails that are, you know, unproductive,
right,
unproductive holes, or to actually make us look like idiots. And we have to be cognizant of that fact as well. Because, you know, you start saying, well, look, you know, there were no kids shot, or it didn't happen the way it happened this way. You start getting out into that tenuous territory. Then you begin to lose credibility, and, of course, that is a method employed by the globalist regime that You know, they want to take away your credibility. They want to marginalize you and vilify you. And, of course, even by asking, see, this is a very, very touchy area. When you start asking questions in this area because of the children involved, you've got to be very careful, and rightfully so. You've got the purported deaths of many, many children and violent deaths of children. So, you know, you've got to walk on eggshells because, I mean, out of sheer respect, the human factor, my goodness. However, not to compromise the integrity of the investigation. Just like when we hit investigations normally, we go where the truth leads us. And sometimes we have to break a few eggs. Sometimes we have to cause some people some stress to get to the truth.
Yeah.
So, but we, a jam-packed show. A couple of things too, Joe, that in addition to Sandy Hook, I want to mention too on HomelandSecurityUS.com an article about the December 30th, 2012 report released about Benghazi, my take on that, my investigation on that, went through all 29 pages, and there is a connection there between the current, in my view, my professional view, by connecting some dots, there's a connection between John Brennan, the Stanley and Analysis Corporation, and Brennan is up for the top CIA post, head of the CIA. Well, okay, don't forget the 2008 passport breach, office breach, where, you know, that took place. We talked about that last night, but there's the murder of Quarles Harris in Washington, D.C., contemporaneous with that passport break, or at the same, you know, roughly around the same time. This is not by accident. And, you know, could this be, could his appointment be payback time or a payback for what he did in 2008? And this is something that we have to look at. And before we get into the news, I did find something here that I thought was really interesting. Joe, if you permit me to just kind of get into this real quick, I just want to talk about something. Francis Fox Piven rings in the new year by calling for a violent revolution. No, it wasn't December 31st, 2012. It wasn't even December 31st, 2011. It was 2 years ago. But as we look at history, it's interesting because we see things that were being planned a couple of years ago now take place. Frances Fox Piven. She's considered by many as the grandmother of using the American welfare state to implement revolution, make people dependent on the government, overload the government roles, and once government services become unsustainable, the people are going to rise up, they're going to overthrow the oppressive capitalist system, and finally create income equality, collapse the system, and create a new one. That's the simplified version of Francis Fox Piven's philosophy. That was originally put forth back in the pages of The Nation, that magazine back in the 1960s. Now, according to this article back in 2010, as the New Year ball drops, Piven is at it again, ringing in 2011 with renewed calls for revolution. How is that going, Joe? It's going well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, and it's showing an almost unbelievable editorial again in The Nation entitled Mobilizing the Jobless, which actually ran in the January 17th edition, 2011 edition. She calls on the jobless to rise up in a violent show of solidarity and force. As before, those calls are dripping with language of class struggle, and aren't we seeing that from, of course, from the power brokers in Washington, the language she and her late husband, Richard Cloward, made popular in the 60s, just very briefly here. So where are the angry crowds and the demonstrations, the sit-ins and unruly mobs, as she writes? After all, the injustice is apparent. Working people are losing their homes and their pensions, while robber barons, CEOs report renewed profits and windfall bonuses. Shouldn't the unemployed be on the march? I mean, why aren't they demanding enhanced safety net protections and big initiatives to generate jobs? Those are the questions which she asked back then. And then her first instruction, get angry, get mad. Before people can mobilize collective action, they have to develop a proud and angry identity. And set claims to go with that identity, she writes, they have to go from being hurt and ashamed to being angry and indignant. This is exactly what we're seeing today. It took 2 years, but we're seeing this indignity play out. We're seeing this anger play out. We're seeing this denunciation, this of personal responsibility. Workers must realize, she writes, that others have put them in their current uneasy situation. She said, blame others. It's not your fault. The out of work have to stop blaming themselves for their hard times and turn their anger on the bosses, the bureaucrats, and the politicians who are in fact responsible. Well, gee whiz, as Joe and I went through some things today, who are responsible? Of course, the big bankers, it's not, and the elected officials, it's not the business owners, it's not the middle class, yet this is where she wants to vent, or this is where the anger wants to be, she wants to vent the anger. The best targets are people and organizations capable of making some type of response to angry demands. Regular demands, notice, just won't do. No, people must be fired up and not easily deterred. Angry and not quickly placated. So, an effective movement of the unemployed will have to look like something like the strikes and riots that spread across Greece in response to the austerity measures. And we're going to be able to see this, folks, with the tax hikes that we just experienced. And if you already have received your paycheck for the first paycheck of the year, you're seeing this. But it's hitting the lower class income earners, not lower class of people. Never meant that, but the people on the bottom of the payroll, it's hitting them the hardest. And this is by design. You see, this is by design. These are the people who want to bring us down. This is what we need to really make sure. Protests are spreading with lightning speed across England, the UK, in response to the prospect of greatly increased school taxes, for example.
Yeah, there's protests on the unemployment. There's in the Eurozone. There's protests happening in China. I don't know if you saw that over the censorship.
I did.
And there, we know what's going on in Syria. We have things going on here in the United States that are destroying freedom. Freedom is gone. It's just an illusion. But yet, here we see new sweeping gun laws to be announced by Andrew Cuomo. We see the UN wants drones on peacekeeping missions. We see the Egyptian magazine published an article, Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated Obama's administration. We see a lot going on. People with vegetable gardens being fined $500 a day for not tearing them up. They're trying to ban bullets in California, and things are just speeding away at a pace where who knows? I mean, I know we're probably not going to be able to stop them. This is going to happen. They've been planning it. They're following through with it, and they're going to finish it.
You know, I was one never to believe in the power structure known as the Illuminati, and of course, stock marquees changed quite a bit of that. And don't forget, folks, this Thursday, Nathan Leal from the Watchman's Cry, not the Watchman's Cry, from watchmanscry.com will be joining us. Please spread the word on that program. Nathan Leal, Watchman's Cry. Well, on our website, homelandsecurityus.com, we have a upcoming show page, or upcoming guest and special show page. It's on the top part of the menu. You can access it there. We are busily redesigning our website, so it's a little bit more, contains more information. We're populating the reader's library with PDF files, forms, e-books, that type of thing, where you can go there. It'll be a one-stop shop. We'll be continually adding to that where you can read your background if you're interested in various aspects of different things. And we attempt to vet them to the best of our ability. What we put there is government documents that are in the open, but they're hard to find. Mm-hmm. So we're doing this. We're working to put all of this together for you. And then, of course, Friday, don't forget, we're going to have Steve and his financial insider on with us 9 to 12 different times. So, but anyway, I just want to mention about Francis and Fox Piven and what we're seeing right now, the parallels to Germany. And the reason I mention the parallels to Nazi Germany is because Rick Wiles did a monologue, 15-minute monologue before my appearance about the parallels with Nazi Germany in America today. And I think that it's so important to listen to. If you haven't done so already, definitely take a listen to it. Rick is an amazing individual with respect to getting things put together, and that's just something that it's educational. And by the way, and this is something I want to mention, you know, the Jews were Hitler really caused the anger against the Jews. Hitler hated the Jews to a lesser extent, the Christians, but blaming them for all the financial ills of society. And that's where a lot of this anti-Semitism arises from. Is from that mindset.
Yeah.
So yeah, but there's a lot of current things taking place that we have to talk about, and of course we'll be taking your calls toward the end of the program, last hour of the program, at 661-244-9839.
I think we should start with the audio we uploaded on Ben Swan that you told me to check out right before the beginning of the show, with. Full disclosure, Colorado, Wisconsin, Connecticut shootings. Are these the work of lone wolf gunmen?
Yes.
I haven't listened to this yet.
This kind of sets the stage, too, for discussion, intellectual discussion about Sandy Hook and others. And think about this. Listen carefully to what Ben Swan has to say.
Okay. We're going to go to that now.
This year, there have been a number of mass casualty shootings across the nation. But three in particular have really stood out to the media. The Colorado Theater shooting, the Sikh Temple shooting in Wisconsin, and now the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting in Connecticut. Earlier this year, I told you there are major problems with the theory that the Colorado Theater shooting was a lone wolf attack, as it's often called. Is that true of these other two shootings as well? This subject deserves full disclosure. It was Friday, July 20th, 2012. Police in Aurora, Colorado say 24-year-old James Holmes walked into a theater during the premiere of the Batman movie The Dark Knight Rises. Holmes was heavily armed and opened fire. According to police, Holmes was wearing a tactical helmet, vest, and leggings, as well as throat and groin protectors. Police say that he used an AR-15 assault rifle, a Remington shotgun, and a .40-caliber Glock handgun during the attack. Police say they found a second .40-caliber Glock handgun inside of his car. Police on the scene told the media and the public confidently that this was a lone wolf attack.
All the evidence we have, every single indicator is that this is all Mr. Holmes' activity and that he wasn't particularly aided by anyone else.
But was that true? Reports from eyewitnesses who were there during the attack was that James Holmes got a phone call while he was sitting in the theater, that he walked to an emergency exit and opened the door. Also, that tear gas was thrown from a second location inside the theater. Listen.
He got a phone call, and most people, when they get phone calls in theaters, they go straight out into the lobby to answer it. This person went directly to the emergency exit. He had his foot propped open by the door, and from the crack, it looked like he was signaling somebody or looking for somebody to come his way.
As I was sitting down to get my seat, I noticed that a person came up to the front row, to the front right, sat down, and as credits were going, I know it seemed like he got a phone call. So he went out towards the emergency exit doorway, which I thought was unusual, to take a phone call.
From what we saw, he wasn't alone. He had someone with him because the second can of tear gas didn't come from his side.
The official story from police, this was a lone wolf attack involving just one shooter, James Holmes. Police, of course, were not there during the attack. Witnesses who were say it was not one shooter, it was two. August 5th, 2012, Wade Michael Page, a 40-year-old former soldier, walked into a Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, and opened fire. Seven people were killed, 20 others injured. Page killed himself in the parking lot of the temple after being shot by a police officer. This, too, was a lone wolf attack. That, according to police on the scene shortly after the attack happened. But again, in this case, according to eyewitnesses, that was not the case.
My dad is out and at the hospital, and we're just relaying information back and forth. I'm trying to get as much info as possible.
What, if any, have you learned from him about what transpired inside or from your mother?
So the most I can learn, or the most I know as of now, is that there are multiple shooters. There's multiple people. It was a very well-coordinated thing. It wasn't haphazard, and I think that's why police and everybody are taking the proper, you know, protocol to get the situation under control.
We have our temple service every Sunday. Starts around 10:30, and usually goes in the afternoon. And around 10, between 10 and 10:30, four white males who are dressed darkly, dressed in all black clothing, came in and opened fire on the on our congregation.
In that case, witnesses said at least four people had opened fire, and it was not simply one lunatic. They were four well-trained people who seemed to know what they were doing and had a plan. Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut comes under attack. As you know, 20 young children were killed along with six adults. The seventh adult, the reported shooter, 20-year-old Adam Lanza, who died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. And again, police on the scene telling us this was the work of a lone wolf. That is what police have said. But again, there is evidence beginning to emerge that
reports that the teacher saw two shadows running past the building, past the gym, which would be rear shooting.
For instance, take this video of two people seen running through the woods shortly after the shooting. Now, the man that you see here who's running and is actually caught by police was put in handcuffs and then placed into a car.
He'd walk a guy out of the woods. I saw him walk a guy out earlier with handcuffs. He walked by us and said he didn't do it.
It was a grown man.
A grown man, yeah. He's sitting in the front of the police car over there now. So, I mean,
he didn't have a gun?
No, I didn't see any gun. Just had him handcuffed, and he walked by us and looked into parents' eyes and said, I didn't do it.
How was he dressed?
Camo pants with a dark jacket.
Turns out he may have been the father of a student who arrived at the scene and was scared. But there is, at the top of this video, a second person in the woods who's seen for just a brief moment. No report as to who this person actually was. So what you need to know here is that in all three of these cases, there isn't just wild speculation that maybe there was more than one shooter. In fact, there's a good reason to question this whole narrative, because there's been no evidence so far, no evidence provided by police, other than what they've told us, that there is only one shooter here. There's an easy way to prove it. Police have not yet released the surveillance video outside the theater in Colorado. Show the video and prove that it was one person. Just as they have not released the video outside of Sandy Hook. Again, show the surveillance video. Prove it was one person. You see, these questions are worth asking of law enforcement until they provide evidence otherwise. And that is full disclosure.
And there it is.
Yeah.
It's the video.
Really? They reported that the shooter of Connecticut came to the school the day before the shooting, started an altercation with four people.
Right.
They say on the day of the shooting, he shot through a window where he wouldn't be seen on video, apparently. But why not release from the day before?
Where's the brother? And how would he know that, too, without surveillance, prior surveillance? But
and where's his brother? Where's the father? Where are these people? I mean, we're just asking questions. This thing looks, it's full of holes.
Well, you know,
and we just want answers.
Let's go back to the Aurora shooting, the Batman Rises. That case has been fully adjudicated, and there is no reason for the video that was used in the, or that was used or taken as evidence, not to be released to the public. I can understand not releasing the video of Sandy Hook at the moment, but I don't understand. Well, even at that, you can release parts of it to satisfy the public's thirst, or to reassure or to verify, or to, you could do that, but it hasn't been done.
How many minutes after 9/11 did they have the paper with the 19 hijackers and all their information and their passports they found in the rubble and you know, all this stuff that they had lined up ready to spill to the public? Yet we see all these tragedies. And think about this. If it really happened or not, does it matter now? The effects are already done mentally to the people. Even if they were to announce it, would say,
right,
the people wouldn't, the disconnect. It does.
I'm not sure I agree with you on that.
If somebody
would say, well, you know what, this was a drill, or
reading through all these government documents that I have in the last couple of days,
right,
before I switched courses, I've been learning a lot about psychological operations in many different forms. You have psychological operations when it comes to everything and anything that is in the public view. And it is to shape and public opinion. It is to change behaviors and behavior patterns of people. So the shock value is already done. Even if Obama came out and said, you know what, it was a drill.
Right.
People, in 2 years, when you asked them, they would still say, yeah, there was a mass shooting in Connecticut, because there's that cognitive disconnect.
I understand that. Here's what worries me a lot, because I think that the further away that we get from Sandy Hook, the greater the likelihood for another mass casualty shooting event is that there will be. And is this based on any specific intelligence? No, not really. There has been murmurs, rumors, and mutterings about something. But what's the goal? What's the end game objective here, Joe, with the progressive left or the communist socialist progressive mindset? What's the goal here?
Well, they have, it depends. They have a target. They have their strategy.
They want to disarm America. That's
the end goal, but they're going to do it through a lot different and more subtle means than we could even ever imagine, that they have broken down into just the most sickening. I mean, I want to know who starts writing these things. And they refer to it. Do you remember when the mind control, they say, was used in letting the Iraqis hand over all their weapons in the Gulf War?
You know, I heard about that. And folks, you might have heard about that, but and even perhaps dismissed it, or it just let it kind of just go by you without really much of any interest, because it was just so far out there, where there was mind control employed by our military, by our operational people against the Iraqis. Well, to convince them, mind control. Am I saying that right, Joe?
There's a lot of different ways you can say it. They say influence, cognitive disruption,
right?
Cognitive, cognitive operations.
Well,
neutralizing.
Right. Something that would work in the back of your mind.
They say they can use all levels of warfare, tactical, operational, theater, strategic, and nationally strategic, tactical commanders. They use the example of strategic communications in Iraq today based on interactions with audiences in the area of responsibility to potentially and strategically end violence without actually going into the war by messing with the brains of the adversaries and the decision-making capabilities from strategic shots, and to achieve cognitive information effects using any means available And it gets into a lot of the means that are available.
And that's why people like Stan Dale we have on who talk about the different things, and even Steve Quayle to a larger extent about his research into, I'm hesitant to use mind control, but I guess that's what we're talking about. Even watching television, you're under a specific mind control.
Yeah.
To a degree.
Yeah. It just said that their brain waves are on a level that is makes you very suggestible. And when they have whole departments or agencies developed specifically for psychological, military operations, psychological, cognitive breaking operations, strategic shock operations, but that's just some of them. And it goes on and on and on, but they have the tools available where they could do this, and we could just never really know what hit us. And
not we, but
the American people. And part of it, you know, when you see a tragedy like that, they say it happened, but no evidence of it. The normal people aren't going to question it. They feel bad. They don't want to question the authority.
Yeah,
they don't want
to. I mean, how crass would that be? Can you imagine the blowback, the crassness you would have to question.
But when you get no proof, okay, I can see not questioning after the first hour.
Right.
The first day. But as time goes on and the stories continue to change, which, you know, they will change because people's eyewitness accounts aren't very reliable immediately after, you know, very serious situations.
That's right.
But when there is evidence to show or no evidence to show the people, when the parents, from what I understand, couldn't even look their kids and identify them personally, they can only do it through photographs, that's violating standard operating procedure.
Yeah, I've been in situations like that where there had to be identifications made, and I've never seen that done. But then, of course, you've got to realize my experience is well over a quarter of a century old, and the capabilities have since changed. But there was always that desire that I've seen for a family member to physically see the person. Unless, of course, it was so horrific, you know, that it would...
What parent wouldn't want to make sure that that was their kid that was, you know... Well, who wouldn't want that closure?
Right. Yes. Within a certain boundaries. Anyway, but when we're talking about bullet wounds, okay, it's not necessarily like the movies. It all depends on a number of factors, but it's not like the movies where, this guy is not going with a shotgun, and the shotgun causes a whole different type of wound than a rifle.
Depending on, you know, you have the ball, the
right
buckshot, or you have the
right
the other one, and right. I mean, we're not dealing. We know that. Obviously, it's going to be very gruesome.
Very gruesome. Right.
That stop. If they were suspected that I was shot, and they asked you to come down to the medical examiner's office, they said your son was shot 15 times. Would that stop you?
No.
Okay.
No, it wouldn't.
All right.
It'd be very painful for a family member, and of course, you know, we've been through that. We've had personal tragedies that in our family, and then we've been through that. But it's always pretty much the standard course. This is something totally different, and there are many irregularities, and we're looking into this. And ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate everyone who has sent in. We must have, I would suspect, no fewer than 500 different emails. Emails from 500 different people, probably citing maybe 200 to 300 either news stories or sites or YouTube videos for us to watch. So we have ample evidence to take a look at. For example, Joe, you had shown a web page that was created or that was dated December 10th about the Sandy Hook shooting. And
there's a few of them.
Yeah.
And I don't know how – they used to have a thing called Google Timeline where they wouldn't screw the stuff up. They removed that about a year and a half ago.
Right.
And now I can't tell when the things were created because Well, they don't have the timeline. But when the article is still live and it's still dated as on the 10th, it could have been an honest mistake. But when you take into account the Facebook page that was created for the teacher who died,
yeah,
it was created on the 10th as well, when the shootings happened on the 14th. And then we have John sent us a thing of the there was a donation page set up also on the 10th or the 11th. But I don't know. I mean,
there's a big, because I can do this too. I can actually take, if I wanted to make it look like I posted an article a year ago, for example, or a week ago, I can backdate an article. And just by looking at it, you wouldn't be able to tell. But the cache, the Google, or the, that's not even the proper term, the Wayback Machine, or the, well, the Google, yeah, I guess the Google Cache, for example, how they look at pages and keep them archived, you could tell there. But I sent this one Sandy Hook school shooting where they're announcing therapy, or not therapy, but well, anyone who needs psychological assistance can come in. It was dated 4 days before the shooting, and anyone could mistake a date, for example. And I've done it too on articles. Or I'll be off by a day, or if I'm having a really bad pre-coffee morning, I might have it, you know, dated off by a month. And of course, every year around, you know, the change of the calendar, you're always writing the previous year. Those are understandable and easily traced, but there's a vast difference between saying it was posted on a certain date, for example, on 12/10,
right?
Then you remember Operation, actually seeing it posted on that date.
Operation Mockingbird, right?
You know what? There's so many operations. Help me out.
Live drills, operatives, actors, staging events with the media. Well, there's a thing called the Crisis Actors that are out of Denver. It's out of a Vision Box, Denver,
right.
Acting Studio. From there, you can find crisis actors trained in active shooter crisis scenarios, targeted small shootings, also school shootings. And on the 14th, they have up training for active shooter situations in schools. This is from December 14th of this year. They are funded by the Department of Homeland Security.
That was the same day as the shooting, by the way.
Train players, making actors making it real, helping schools and first responders create realistic drills, full-scale exercises, high-fidelity simulations, and interactive 3D films. Now, if it is just a coincidence that, you know, they have these places set up and they do these things, but like, there's articles here. It's not like they announced to the people that they're coming. One article here, active shooter drills, shock teacher and students, teachers and students. That's from Fox 4 News. And there's a bunch of them like that. So it's not like they announced that they're going to be doing this all the time.
And so, folks, to put this in perspective, just so you know what we're talking about here, and I remember back, like I said, you know, well over a quarter of a century ago, being in emergency medical services, where we would take, actually, there would be interns, doctors, interns that would come out, and nurses that would come out and play the role of patients in a mass casualty event. And everyone would have, like, a certain, I don't know, a certain injury or wound. And, of course, you, as a first responder, which we were not known as those back then, would then perform triage and treatment. And that was part of a test, of course, you know, you would have to pass. Today, they're actually using actors, as you pointed out, and has been pointed out in the news, by a special group of actors called the Crisis Actors Group, right? Isn't that what Crisis Actors Group?
Yep.
Okay.
CrisisActors.org.
Okay, so then you've got this overlap with this odd, inexplicable overlap. What are the Crisis Actors Group doing in Sandy Hook? Now, I guess my question to you, Joe, because you've been looking.
Not only
at
that,
this,
they're in Colorado also. They in the 31st of this October 31st, they did an active an active shooter drill in the mall.
Okay. When did that Aurora, Colorado mall shooting happen? Do we remember? Was it close to that date?
I'm not sure. This one happened.
Was it Halloween?
October on Halloween, yeah. But I don't know when the other one was an Oregon mall. The Colorado movie theater was
right.
The one that was shot. But this Sandy Hook, Ithaca Police in Ithaca, New York, finish active shooter training on the day of Sandy Hook. And there's more. I mean, they're doing this across the country on the same day. There was a drill held at a local high school in Colorado. There was one in Plattsburgh.
Plattsburgh, New York,
yeah.
Which is up, I mean, you can, it's 40 miles south of Montreal. I've been to Plattsburgh a number of times. You have too, Joe, and it's a small town. You can't get any further north than that. I mean,
really? Yeah.
Without going into Canada, it's out of the way. But see, shouldn't people be asking these questions? I mean, we have a responsibility, I believe, to ask these questions, even as troublesome as they might be.
No, especially when they're using these scenarios or situations, or even if it was a real tragedy, to take our rights away. Of course, they owe it to us to show us proof. They owe it to us to tell us the truth. And
well,
if they don't, we have no... Why should we believe a government or anybody in the seat of power that has done nothing but lie to us ever since their mouths opened?
This is true. And speaking of rights, and I just want to bring this out, and I want to take this opportunity. I don't believe he's listening tonight, but I just want to publicly thank Keith Hansen for this information. A little bit of information about the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. And this is something, folks, that if you take away nothing else from tonight's program, take this away from tonight's program. What does the Constitution say? Let me find the exact wording here. And you, I know each and every one of you listening to this, or perhaps the majority of you listening to this, have... cited this, have stated this. This part, we hold these truths, this is from the Declaration of Independence,
mm-hmm.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain what?
Okay. Inalienable rights.
What is it?
Inalienable.
That's what I thought, too.
Okay.
Okay. And I, for years, folks, for years, I that's what I thought. The word is unalienable.
Hold on a second.
Now, this is going to blow your mind. I would read this all of the time, and let me read this in context. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Okay.
And I always took that to mean you can't take them away.
Well,
that's how I always understood it.
You're right.
No matter what, you can't take them away.
Correct. You are correct. However, you're not technically correct. What the sentence is and what the word is, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. There's a big difference.
Unwavering.
Unalienable. No. Well, okay.
Understanding.
Okay, unalienable. In other words, what's a lien?
Flexibility.
No, a lien. Like you would put a lien on a property, a judgment.
I'm done with the game show. You go ahead.
Yeah. I'm not a very good game show host, let me tell you. But see, that word unalienable, if you look it up in Black's Law Dictionary, and Keith Hansen, he was telling me about this, and we were talking about this for quite a while today, and he was saying, no, this is what it means, unalienable. In other words, these are, you can't, you're right, though, Joe, that you can't take them away. You cannot try, I mean, these are unchangeable. They're you cannot do anything with them. They are solid as a rock, and you can look it up in Black's Law Dictionary, unalienable. So the next time you are talking to a family member, or some, perhaps even a liberal, or somebody that's anti-conservative.
And we're both making fun of anybody's family, but they can't get across simple points to most. I mean, most people listening try and have get across simple points. You try to explain that to them?
Well, no, you know what? All you have to say is, you know, go ahead, look at the Declaration of Independence and read the first, the second paragraph, the first sentence of the second paragraph. And what does that mean? And when they come across as unalienable rights, you can correct them and say, no, that's unalienable. And that's a legal definition. And that legal definition means you can't touch them. No one, they're yours forever. No one, they're no one else's. You can't take them away. You can't put a lien against them, so to speak. And there's more to it. You can, folks, you can do your own research on it, but the bottom line is, that changes the entire message of that sentence. It makes it even more. It's even more solid and beyond. You cannot. It bothers progressives when you talk about things like this or communists. The same thing. Unalienable rights. So just remember, it's not inalienable rights. It's unalienable rights. No, again, all thanks go to Keith Hansen on that. I know I got off track there a little bit, but I think it's important for us to understand words mean things, and especially words in the Declaration of Independence. And that's one of those words, unalienable rights, unalienable rights. So, but yes, especially, Joe, when we're talking, when Sandy Hook is, in fact, the trigger event, or the Aurora shooting, or the combination, they're trigger events.
Well, let's just look at the Aurora shooting and the Sandy Hook shooting request.
Yes.
Isn't it odd that the Aurora shooting happened at the premiere of the Dark Knight movie, and both of those places are listed in the Dark Knight movie?
You know, yeah. And
whatever coincidences people might believe in or not, that's too much right there.
You know,
tell me, it's not right. And we know that they're, like you said, through Doc Marquis and other guests, that they do put messages in movies and mass media. And it's part of the conditioning, the subliminal conditioning.
Well, just to tell you how little I know, and let me tell you something. And this is something that the more I get into this, the more I realize the level of my knowledge is lacking. One of my favorite people to listen to with respect to this whole genre of events, a guy by the name of Gary Bell, A View from Space. And if you have the opportunity, I'd love to be able to get this gentleman on our show. I don't think he doesn't take callers. He doesn't take guests. He does a 3.5-hour program every Saturday out of Toronto, AM 640. His name is Gary Bell. There is an archive available out there of his shows. I have to warn you, however, if you're in search for the truth and you're looking for answers, it's addicting, because he gets into things that I don't even know where to start, but I can tell you this, and I'm not sure if I can find my notes, but one of the things that he gets into is the movie. It's here they are right here, as you can hear me ripping papers across the room.
Yeah, the background is extra loud.
Yeah, sorry about that. The movie, 52 days before the end of 2012, four movies came out: Skyfall, Lincoln, Citadel, and A Royal Affair. And I know I mentioned this on the program last night, but in the movie Skyfall, which has connotations if from the Illuminati perspective, and I'm just learning about this, so if I get this wrong or slightly not covered the way I should, my apologies in advance, but the fact of the matter is this. The trailer shown as a trailer, Skyfall was shown as a trailer for Dark Knight Rises. And in the trailer, it featured this big red, or this big sign on top of a building of Shanghai that said Aurora. There appear to be numerous connections, Illuminati, weird, strange, and I don't even care if you call them Illuminati. They're just doggone, downright, just wickedly strange. I've got questions. Coincidences are funny things. Sometimes they happen. I wouldn't trust them, but they happen. Skyfall in Batman, and Skyfall in particular, if you look at everything that's taking place today, the current events today, the dollar, what's taking place with the dollar, the power structure, the all this stuff, what we're seeing, in my view, is we're seeing this attempt to recreate a Camelot. If you start if you start talking in that fashion, it goes back to the Olympics, the opening ceremony, the closing ceremony, the Olympics. Remember the opening ceremony where the Queen Elizabeth jumps out of that movie with a parachute with James Bond? Well, James Bond is modeled after John Dee, and Queen Elizabeth, the current Queen Elizabeth, is modeled after the first Queen Elizabeth the First. And it goes into Tubal Cain in 007 and the tribe of Cain, the bloodline, and all this. And you can get into this whole big thing, this whole big research thing, and go down this, you know, look at Ian Fleming and John Dee, and get involved in the sun worshippers, and how Aurora, as a matter of fact, it means dawn. Colorado means red. Sun worshippers, red their worshippers, they worship dawn. There are certain things in here that go beyond coincidence, you can't make up. So in addition to confusing you just about the coincidences and about the inconsistencies, the normal stuff, the backdrop behind this, the backdrop, you know, could it be that nefarious? Could it be that weird? Could it be that strange, twisted, where this stuff is being planned by these people?
Well, let me tell you what the Brzezinski book here on totalitarianism and communism states, or what the Soviets did is they say this is the purge and operates continually on the basis of consistent interaction of personal motives, group manipulation, and power pressures. The purge is, in a sense, permanent. However, it continues to be in part motivated by a genuine fear of actual revolts, and has been shown. In specific crises, the purge may be utilized for the achievement of a particular power objective, a.k.a. gun ban.
I have not been able to pry that book out of your hands for months.
If need be, become quite violent and far-reaching. Thus, the period of transition from the Soviet dictatorship into a moderate industrial totalitarian regime made the 30s a period of extreme purges. And it goes on.
So what you're saying, though, and I think you're correct,
they say purges and things that affect people's emotions, whether real or unreal, they utilize the political forces around the totalitarian leadership to prevent and develop local autocrats in the provinces, which could weaken the central control of the leadership, and also to change the minds of the citizens in favor of the National Party.
Okay. Now, folks, you might say, well, what does this have to do with the price of tea in China or whatever? I don't know.
Do with what has happened to America and the fundamental changes of social and moral, the direction we went.
Yeah, and how you've got to come to this realization, because I believe that although everyone listening to this program, you are far, far beyond the theater of right-left politics. And, you know, to me, you can almost put that up against, somebody watching a hockey game or a basketball or a football game, in the sense that it's that meaningless. All that is diversion and entertainment. But
yeah, and it gets into the your stuff, the propaganda,
yes.
And what we could say might be true with some of these shootings. It says, in short, propaganda is essentially action-related. It aims to get people to do or to not do certain things. And in totalitarian dictatorships, virtually all propaganda is directed ultimately to the maintenance of the power and the party controlling it.
Okay.
But now we're going from the transition from seeing the propaganda aimed at changing the way people are. Now they're going to, once they clamp down and get their positions, then it'll be aimed at keeping those people.
Okay.
There.
And that thought that you just verbalized, understand that the purpose behind the Mayan calendar, the 2012, where we are today, is that very transition that you're talking about. But it's more than that, but you kind of encapsulated that pretty nicely. But like I said, what does this have to do with current events, with the big picture? Just to give you one example or a couple of examples, everything that we're talking about, for example, the movie Skyfall, Hollywood is heavily involved in this satanic occultish stuff, okay? Skyfall is a method of delivering a message. There's a lot of predictive programming that's involved, and there's a lot of things that, whether you, the listener, believes this or not, whether my wife's second cousin, third removed, believes it or not, it doesn't matter. If they believe it, the people behind this believe it, that's what matters. In some of the things, just for example, would it concern you to know that some of the very things that you believe to be true today are actually lies, big lies, and the very things that we're being told by the media are built on big lies? The media is a big part of this. For example, did you know that Anderson Cooper is part of the Vanderbilt bloodline? Well, what's that? Well, that's part of the Illuminus, if you will, allegedly. Okay, and I preface everything by allegedly, because I don't know. I don't have his DNA certificate, but think about this: if you are going to implement changes or take over the world, and that's what these people with the gazillions of dollars want to do. And you might think, okay, you've really lost it. But no, but think about it. This is the plan. We're seeing the plan unfold right before our very eyes. And even Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, if you look at his lineage, well, who is Lincoln's father? There's some secrecy behind that, if you know history, and if you get into history. Isn't it interesting that the man in the White House who is equating himself with Abraham Lincoln, isn't it interesting that there's some secrecy, some controversy regarding his parentage, including his father? This is part of it. And I don't want to get too far out here because you can even get into the fact, okay, when the shooting happened at Colorado, the New York Stock Exchange, what it closed at, the numbers.
All right.
Okay. There, and I don't have them in front of me, but in numerology, in this is a big thing. And you might think, well, no, you're seeing things, and it's part of this larger lie, this larger picture, and how would it apply today? Well, when the Benghazi report from the Accountability Review Board came out, it was 39 pages long. Guy said to me, in the intelligence world, the guy said to me, that's all I need to know. I said, what do you mean? He said, 39, that's the number that represents the 50%. So that's how it affects you. people today.
All right, we're up against the break. Actually, 5 minutes late for the break. 10 minutes late for the break.
Sorry, AM stations. We apologize.
We'll be right back after these short messages. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report this Tuesday, January 8th, 2013. As time continues to fly by, we're going to get into a lot of thoughts of sound and then your phone call for the rest of the show. We'll be right back.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Hi folks, Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Pau, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth squads specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. I just want to tell you about a wonderful sponsor that we have, Grantland Firearms of British Columbia. If you are lucky enough to be living in British Columbia, you've got to check them out on the web. That's GrantlandFirearms.com. We have a link to their website. If you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, click on the link to Grantland Firearms. Did you know, folks, that they have that Carl Granlund wrote a book called Treed Beyond the River? It's a second edition. It's got new stories and pictures. It's about cougar hunting on Vancouver Island. Now, look, I am not a hunter by any stretch of the imagination, but I found this to be an absolutely fascinating read. It's something that if you are a hunter and you like wildlife and you like if you like scenery and you like that outdoorsmanship, I would urge you to grab a hold of a copy. It's a great it's a great conversation piece. It's great on your coffee table. It's great on your bookshelf, and it's a great read. It's called Treed Beyond the River. It's by Carl Granlund, And it's available via his website, and that's GrandlandFirearms.com. And in addition to that, that's a hunter's paradise. Grandland Firearms is a hunter's paradise. I know these people, Lori and Carl, a great couple. You can't find better people than Lori and Carl Grandland as owners of Grandland Firearms. If you're up in Canada, especially in British Columbia, and you're looking for hunting supplies, hunting equipment, give them a call. And by all means, Tread Beyond the River. Grab yourself a copy of that book. You can give them a call. Their number is available on their website. If I give it to you right now, you don't have a pencil or a pen, so you won't remember it. But visit GrandlandFirearms.com. That's GrandlandFirearms.com. And please tell them that Doug and Joe sent you.
Hold on to your seat. The Hagman and Hagman flight is now taking off. Doug and Joe Hagman have cleared the runway of TSA agents, jihadists, political crackpots, and global elitists. Now get ready for some real news. Here they are, Doug and Joe Hagman.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Hagman and Hagman Report this Tuesday, January 8, 2013. We're going to hit a lot of hard news here, and then we're going to take your calls at the end of that, starting at the second half of this hour and following into the third hour. First story I really want to get into is I find this very interesting. The United Nations wants to use drones, armed drones, for peacekeeping missions. Through West Africa? All the way.
Yeah.
Through the Congo, yeah. Rwanda, Uganda. The action is the first step in a broader bid to integrate unmanned aerial surveillance systems, which have become standard feature of the Western military operations, into the United Nations far-flung peacekeeping empire. I mean, talk about a twisted... And for those of you who know the history of the UN and have read Webster Tugley's book, what's the name of it?
Well, which one?
No, not Webster. Was it Webster Tarpley? It's
Wrote Obama the Postmodern Coup.
No, maybe it wasn't Webster Tarpley. This is an old
Edward Griffin.
G. Edward Griffin, yeah. And it talks about what the UN really did in their peacekeeping missions in Africa and in all these places, and the mass murders that they conducted, and. This is the United Nations that is setting up the one world global government.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
So now they want their drones, they say, but the effort is encountering resistance from governments, particularly those from the developing world, that fear the drones will open up a new intelligence-gathering front dominated by Western powers and potentially supplement the legions of African and Asian peacekeepers who now act as United Nations eyes and ears on the ground. Africa must not become a laboratory for intelligence devices from overseas, said Olivier Ndjaire of Rwanda, a diplomat of the UN. I'm sorry for the pronunciation.
I'll bet you he wouldn't answer to that, but that's okay.
The growing American use of drones in Pakistan, Yemen, and elsewhere to identify and kill suspected terrorists has only heightened anxieties about their development as part of the multilateral peacekeeping missions. UN officials have sought to ally the suspicion, saying that they have no intention to arm the drones or to spy on countries that have not consented to their
own. They are armed, aren't they? You just said that they're armed.
Yeah.
Or are they just capable of bearing arms?
Well, that's just it. You get the drones, and then you decide what you want to put on them.
All right. And you know, folks, I did get some information from the gentleman that I do have contact within DHS. There is the drones that are flying right now in America are, in fact, either armed or are capable of being armed. Now, my question is why? Obviously, why? There was no response to that by this gentleman. But the fact of the matter is, the fact that we have armed or even surveillance drones flying in this country. And keep in mind, these drones, are operated by young people in a room. I mean, these people could press a button, kill a group of 20 by the pressing of a button, and then go home and have supper and play with the kids. Now, is that inherently a bad thing? In warfare, of course not. But
well, in a certain kind of warfare, well, when you have maybe standing armies ready to, you know, come and wipe out populations.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
This isn't standard warfare. They're killing as many or more innocent people. They don't know. They label them as militants. They say they hit, targeted individuals.
Right.
But really, they do so at the cost of killing hundreds of more people than they could if they just went after the individuals.
Well, one thing I didn't get a chance to talk about with Rick Wiles, but I did get this information, is there are drones flying in our skies that have that very same capability. They are operated out of different locations, however. They are not known by local and even state law enforcement agencies or the FAA necessarily, although they are required to fly or to notify the FAA. Most do not, and they have these capabilities. And according to my source, if they're, and these are his exact words, if they say they have 10 flying in the area, you can bet that means there are 20. So double any number that you hear. Will this ever come out? Yes, it will eventually. But there are drones that are flying all over in every state in the continental United States as we speak.
The Department of Homeland Security is using them. The Environmental Protection Agency is using them. The executive branch of the government is using them through all of their illegal, tyrannical agencies.
And the one more thing that I was told, the time for the use of an armed drone is coming closer. And I'm not kidding about this, and I'm not making light of it, and I'm certainly not exaggerating or hyping this up, but there will come a time in the not-too-distant future, and I've said this before, where a drone will take out a suspected terrorist. Chances are it's going to be a vehicle in a remote location. It may or may not be an actual event. In other words, it may or may not involve actual people being in a vehicle. It may be for a show, for theater, but it's going to happen, and it's going to happen in an effort to condition the American public to accept the fact that America is, as Lindsey Graham described it, a battlefield right now. Now, you might not choose to accept that. You might say, well, this is a little bit too far. It requires extraordinary claims, because it's, or extraordinary proof because it's an extraordinary claim. But let me remind you, the listener, and I know you're listening, this is something I want to remind you, one particular listener, and that back on November 23rd, 2010, I had mentioned in an article specifically that the Department of Homeland Security and the TSA was taking names of protesters, of ideological troublemakers, including but not limited to Alex Jones and Matt Drudge. And I said this, and I said they're keeping a list, that they have a database, and they are collecting the names of political and ideological dissidents. And I had somebody write to me who is a journalist who said, you know what, I filed a Freedom of Information Act, and the response I got was, Doug, you are an idiot. Or this man who said that is an idiot. Seriously. I mean, I'm sure I've got the email somewhere, but this man said, you have to furnish proof. And of course I said, look, I don't. But the fact is, see, now, 2 years later, it has come out through the Freedom of Information Act, requested by former Congressman Bob Barr. Oh, yeah. You know what? It is true. So don't discount this information because there is no official documentation that comes with it. Now, you can trust, but certainly I would ask you to verify, because don't believe what we say, Joe and I say, although we say it with every intent to be honest, with every intent to have the information accurate, but still take it not only to the Lord, but take it to your own research capabilities, do your own research on it. And I just want to mention that. So there are drones flying right now. There, you're not going to find this out via any type of Freedom of Information Act request. This is under the guise of national security. And we are going to see an event where a drone is going to take out something, a vehicle. Chances are it's going to be in an isolated rural area, no witnesses, until after the fact, until when they bring the cameras there to condition the public. But Joe said what's happening right now in where? Africa?
Yeah. In Africa, where this is where the UN wants to send drones. Also, the United States is sending troops to 35 African nations.
Why are we doing that? Folks, why are we doing this?
Because we are the tyrannical, evil empire. That's what we've turned into, and we have to accept that. And it is our responsibility to try to change it back, and I don't see that happening. As I say, we can win souls and individuals, but we're not going to get our country back.
Do you think that the reason, that one of the reasons, and folks, I'll present this question to you as well, do you think that one of the reasons that we're sending troops to all these foreign lands is to soften up the home front with troops? In other words, we won't have the necessary troops to protect us when the time does come, such protection might be absolutely necessary. Could this be part of the grand plan? And we know that the dollar is going to be collapsing. We know, I said this on Rick Show today, timelines. Watch March, April, that timeline. I've been getting a lot of information that something is not right, something between March. I don't like to set dates, but because I don't know. And plus, plans are fluid, but sometime around the end of March, beginning of April, or even through April, in that time period, there's something wrong with that time period. It might be economic, it might be some sort of false flag, it might be something else, but there's something in that time period where we have to prepare. And if something does happen, whatever the event might be, please, I would urge everyone, don't take it at face value. Remember I said this, and then look at this, look at the event, and make sure that if you are computer savvy, if there's reports, capture the initial reports, because together we can assist in trying to find out what's going on.
Yeah, in other news, I want to move right along here. We have Governor Andrew Cuomo calling to take guns. Cuomo is CBS New York. Cuomo close to announcing sweeping new gun control laws. Governor working on a deal that would go after assault weapons and magazines. A deal that would give New York one of the toughest gun control laws in the nation is being negotiated by Governor Andrew Cuomo, whose sources said Tuesday is hoping to announce the plan Wednesday during the State of the State speech in Albany.
Yep.
Cuomo hopes to jumpstart the 2013 legislative session with a big deal that could dramatically alter gun control laws across the state, as though they're not strict enough already there. Highly placed sources told CBS 2 News Marisha Kramer that Cuomo is negotiating with Assembly and Senate leaders for a package of gun control laws that would be a dramatic response to the gun violence besetting the nation, including the tragic shooting of Sandy Hook Elementary School. Now, let me stop here.
Oh, man.
New York City already has a gun ban.
Yeah, you can't even take a water pistol.
But it's one of the biggest cities of gun violence.
Right.
Chicago, gun ban. Number one murderous gun city.
Right.
Every place we see gun bans, we see the number one or number two or number three highest gun crime rate. And everybody watched, I'm sure, that Piers Morgan and Alex Jones yesterday, the debate they had, and we weren't going to get into this tonight, and we'll
we won't get into the specifics, but one point he made is that Mexico, we have, how many deaths there were in Mexico? So 30,000, we'll say, at least.
Yeah.
And it's a gun-free zone. Yeah. You're not supposed to have guns there. But then, like, the number one gun violent country in the world. And at the same time, we have gun-free movie theaters and gun-free, malls and this and that. And one of the points that Jones didn't make when asked about the shooter in Wyoming, I think it was, the mall, whatever the mall shooting was.
Well, the shooter killed himself
because he saw somebody come in that did have a gun, a concealed carry permit. His gun jammed when he got it unjammed. He saw somebody running toward him with the gun, and he shot himself. It is a fact that these people will be stopped if there are people that have concealed carries. The crime, as long as good people are armed, it is a much better chance that people who would do mass shootings wouldn't get very far. Imagine if people had concealed carry permits and went to the movies in Aurora with it. Who knows? And then that could even foil. Even more sinister plan that is behind the scenes, like we're talking about now with the Sandy Hook, which we don't, I'm not sure of yet. But let me tell you something. One thing, regardless of how people think it made other people look or him look, he was right. It's not the weapon. It's the person. And you can't ban the weapon for something a person does. It is not right to take away your constitutional rights because others abuse their rights. Twisted logic, and the public is sadly buying it. And we have legislators from all over the country. Now in California, what they want to do is go after the bullets. I don't know if you saw that there's a in the Bay Area shooting prompts new gun bill law. And this is out of the NBC, and it says the new bill would restrict ammunition sales in California. They cite the Newton, Connecticut, and other mass shootings have prompted for a call to curb gun violence. California Assemblymember Nancy Skinner answered the call with a proposal to restrict ammunition sales to the state. 2,800 people in California were killed last year by gunfire. It's easier to buy bullets than cough medicine or alcohol. It should not be that easy. We need to have much more scrutiny when it comes to the purchase of guns. Monday, she unveiled Assembly Bill 48. It would require bullet buyers to show ID. It would also require ammunition dealers to be licensed and report all sales to the Department of Justice. Right now, you can buy bullets in any store at the sale, and it's not recorded. Gun violence will continue unless we control the sale of bullets. So, once again, it is not the bullets. It is not the gun. It is not the stick. It is not the fist. It is not, people are killed constantly by other people. That will not change if you take every object off this earth. They'll continue to do it with their bare hands. If you cut their arms off, they'll do it with their teeth. There's no end. You can't stop a person who's insane. A person who's bent on murder unless you know of the information ahead of time. Unless you are lucky enough to see it coming, but you can't control everything. And this is what the government's doing, whether it's the water in your toilet, the light bulbs in your house, your health care, your food, all of it, and anything they've ever tried to control has turned into a massive failure. Why do people think this is going to be any different? Especially when this is the same government that shipped thousands of the same weapons to drug cartels to have... so people could be mass murdered down there. It's very aggravating.
Let me take a different approach to this. And folks who are listening to this, you're probably so tired of mentally exhausted. Maybe you are about hearing about gun bans and about how they're going to do this and what have you. I came across an article that it's called Why Civilian Disarmament in the U.S. is Just a Statist Fantasy. And it's on the Survival blog. And I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to skim it here for you. the writer of this saying, sure, there might be schemes and plans to disarm Americans, but these threats are not credible. And he goes to say, he said, let me explain why. And of course, we hear this all the time. The estimate there about 360 million guns in private hands in the U.S. And that's a lot of weapons. Less than 10% are logged in any formal registry. Maybe another 30% are listed on the 4473s filed with the federal firearms dealers where they were first purchased. But that's kind of a mismatch of records with a limited lifespan, if you will. We live in a mobile society where most families move every 3 or 4 years, and in most states there are no record-keeping requirements for secondary sales of firearms. So in total, the accumulation of the forms and this de facto regulation we have is laughable, according to this author. Now think about that, okay? Because there are some good points there. And then this author cites a Congressional Research Service report about additional details. According to a survey back in 1994, 44 million people, about 35% of all households owned about 192 million firearms. And of that number, 65 million were handguns. And it goes on and on and on and on with numbers, and the shared number of guns would make it virtually impossible for any Papa, in his words now, or her words, Papa Fidel or Chairman Mao wannabes to implement a national registration scheme. So this person is saying, this is just crazy talk. And Americans are, you know, inside our DNA. And Rick Wiles talked about this, and I agree with him. We as Americans are independent by nature, and we're unlikely to comply with any universal registration edict. I agree with that. I certainly do agree with that. However, and this is a big however, everybody who was saying that this gun grab, this gun confiscation, this gun criminalization, all of these state and federal initiatives, all of these schemes, everyone who's saying this is not going to happen, folks, they, and even some of us, are looking at this situation through the lens that things are going to be as they currently are. In other words, that we're not going to have any monetary crisis, and certainly we're not going to have any national disaster, or there won't be any additional tyrannies thrust upon us. We're looking at this through a kind of a disconnected, disjointed normalcy bias. So sure, I think in a normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill situation, it would be practically and virtually impossible to disarm Americans. That's true. But what people are failing, in my view, to really take into account are the things that they're not seeing, what you're not seeing, what we're not seeing, what others aren't seeing. The other plans that they're taking off the shelf as force multipliers to create situations like an economic crisis to the extent where you will be turning in your own brother for having a gun for food or something to that effect, where there will be so much strife that it's going to be a game changer. And yes, you're going to be forced or even willing to turn in firearms. And what if they do in a situation like that, say, well, we know according to this 4473 or according to the latest records we've got, we do have you owning a firearm, Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith, you want to be a delivery person for the newspaper here. In other words, you want to be a paper boy. But you know what? Until we have verification that you turn in your firearm, you're not going to be able to do that. Can they do that? Of course they can. Stop looking. My message to the people who are adhering to the fact that they cannot do this, it would be physically impossible. There's not enough manpower to confiscate guns. Yeah, perhaps that is true. But stop looking at this situation through that normalcy, that lens of normalcy. Think about the other possibilities when the economy collapses, when you're hungry, when you're not prepared. Even if you are prepared, you run out of food, or you can't get a job, or you can't pay, you can't live in an apartment or in a location without being completely disarmed, or whatever. Insert your situation there. We're not taking into account the real evil nature of what these people have planned for us. And I think by doing so, I think we're doing the public a disservice by saying, no, it's impossible. It's wishful thinking, in my view, even though I'm sure by today's standards, if every police department in every city said, okay, you're going to have to go out and collect the guns, I'm sure it would be a mess and virtually, practically, realistically impossible to do so. But when you start throwing other conditions in there, you know what I mean, I think it's going to result in something totally different. We're going to be blindsided. Unless we pay attention, we're going to be totally blindsided. That's what I'm thinking. Joe, does that make sense to you, or
mm-hmm.
do you see what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
Because you know, right now, under the conditions in which we are looking, yeah, it doesn't really make a. I think the numbers outweigh. I mean, the numbers of gun owners and the people. And I use this because I see this all over the internet. Well, I sold my guns or I lost them in the boating accident. Do you think for 1 minute that the people that we're dealing with are stupid?
No, I don't think they're stupid, as I don't think they are just people we are dealing with, as it says in the Bible. We are dealing against evil in high places.
Yeah,
and that influence of that evil is controlled, from my understanding, by the Lord. And it is the time that Satan roams the earth, and the stress is upon man, and things are not going to be like they were ever in history, or ever will be again. It will be a warfare of proportions that we couldn't even understand, and it can come from the sky. It can come from the people, the governments, it doesn't matter. We are promised one thing, and that is that everything is sealed and finished. Now, the only thing we have to figure out is what we do during the time on Earth while
right.
we're here.
Right.
So are we, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to sit here and complain and worry about earthly things? Like, yeah, as hard as it is to say this when we're in this groove of talking about what's going on right now and how intense it's getting and how the attacks are increasing minute by minute, you know, but really we need to have our minds in other places. We need to be thinking about the peace that we will be in, because it's there and we can count on that. We can still worry and discuss the events happening, as it is an indicator of where we are in time. But either way, we know this nation is going to be brought to its knees. We know we are going to be under a satanic one world order. And no matter which way you slice it, no matter a new revolution or not, the Bible is clear on that. There will be a one world antichrist system. The only question is when. By the way things are going, it's not going to be long.
How you know, as of folks, as a radio show where we're father and son, of course, those new to the program, I'm the father, and of course, you just heard my son, and it's interesting because until, and I've learned a lot from my son, and I'm proud to say that, and one of the things I learned is you can look at the Bible, and of course, we use the Bible as a tool for worship and for knowledge and inspiration and for spiritual nourishment, but it's also like it's a multi-purpose tool. It's for historical, it provides historical accounts
mm-hmm.
as well as prophetic accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right.
It's Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 6. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passes by. Their cities are destroyed so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. However, I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Therefore, wait ye upon me, says the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then I will turn to the people a pure language, that they will have many and call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. And this is talking about the becoming of the Israel, becoming a nation again.
Right.
And that prophecy we have seen come true, obviously. That is an indicator that we are in the last days.
It's my understanding, too, that prophecy in the Bible can be used more than one time, right? Or am I wrong in that?
I'm not sure. But we know that things are getting bad. Aside from guns, Christianity, Christian belief is under attack, which
yes.
is more important than guns being under attack.
It is. It truly is. Remember that the First and Second Amendments are both tied together. But you mentioned about the Christianity being under attack, it does my heart. It just pleases me to read, for example, that Hobby Lobby, the CEO, in an open letter, stating honoring God is more important than turning a profit. Isn't that great? I mean, think about that. And we are Christians. We run our radio broadcast on Christian principles and deliver news, information, analysis through a biblical Christian worldview, as does the CEO operate of Hobby Lobby, runs his business as Christians. They run their business as Christians and Christian principles. And one thing that got me, he said, I've always said that the first two goals of our business are, number one, to run our business in harmony with God's laws. And we certainly attempt to do that as well, and I think we do a very good job at it. And two, to focus on people more than money. Isn't that what we need to do? Focus.
Absolutely.
Focus. So even if you're in a business or have a business, as long as you put the people first.
Yeah, the money, and I was talking to my wife about this earlier.
Oh, that sounds so
you
weird.
Only
to say that my son said
whatever
that.
You need, the only money you need is the money you need to put a roof over your head and food on your table and to
yes.
take care of your basic needs. Everything else is extra, and it can be given away. And once you learn to depart with that, and people don't understand in America that most of the world doesn't even have the money to put food on their table. We are a spoiled nation. We are a rotten nation, an evil, self-consuming,
self-loathing nation.
Well, this is what we've become.
Right. As a whole, if you look at us as a
collectively, yes.
People don't want to depart with their money to help a homeless person.
No.
People don't want to depart with their money to help anybody. Until you can let that go and care more about the person than you do the money, you're in trouble. That's plain and simple. You can take it or leave it, you know?
Right.
And what we need to do is to help people that they can't hold on to both money and to God, because they're obviously not serving the one if they're serving the other.
Well, let me just add this with respect to the Hobby Lobby, because I think it segues perfectly. The CEO stated that the mandate for free birth control, which is already cheap and readily available for anyone who wants it and has federal subsidies for medical or Medicaid recipients already in place through Title X, well, this is just a Trojan horse in an attack on religious liberty, and even more for freedom of choice. If businesses want to offer free birth control, which will get funded by premium hikes, they can already do so. So no one's stopping them. And that's the same for schools and hospitals and private citizens who want to donate money to family planning clinics. And yesterday, Joe, you pointed out where Planned Parenthood, what the
record number of
his numbers
of abortions with taxpayer-funded money. And I still have that article. I did not get rid of it because I knew I would want to look at it again. I posted it on Facebook. I'll grab it from the other computer. But, yeah.
Obama and Kathleen Sebelius.
Sebelius.
I always really screw that name up. But they want to strip the choice from Americans and force everyone to subsidize the procreative choices of everyone else. And even those tens of millions who belong or who adhere to strong religious beliefs have heretofore never had to be part of public policy. That's the invasion of privacy. And it's we as Christians are being attacked, and people speaking to you as a Christian, only as a Christian, we must resist and we must put up a fight against the attacks against Christians and against Jews, because, you know, this is the, is this not the battle that we are, the ultimate battle in which the Bible says that we will be engaged, in which we will be engaged. I believe it is. What these elected officials, and I don't care what party they are, it doesn't matter to me, because this has been a long time in coming, and this is across the aisle, and they're prostitutes for their positions. Whether they're Republicans or Democrats, they sell out. It's just a matter of their price. They sell out so they can, not to offend the people who want this birth control. And you know, people like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and others, they point this out. But really, they don't go far enough to stick up for the rights of the Christians, of the God-fearing, God-loving and people who want to enjoy eternity in heaven. It's a political theater to them, when to us it is war reality. This is reality of war. It's nothing less than that. And for we just need to understand how serious this is to me.
Mm-hmm.
And please, you know what, folks, if there's nothing else, really, if there's nothing else, we need to fight in God's honor for our principles, for our Christian faith, for the faith of our fellow brethren, for the Jews. And this also extends into the foreign policy with our treatment of Israel, and regardless if you and the people who say, well, Zionist, you know, controlled media, Zionist controlled this and that, and the Jewish and the Palestinians, and this is a huge part of this global initiative. I know, Joe, you've got so much information on how this was really pounded out, planned, detailed, and orchestrated back years and years ago by people who are still around today. This is all part of the final huge battle that the war that we're going to be fighting. And let me just say this while I'm on this part too. Benghazi, the window that shows, that exposes the global agenda. Benghazi is so important to, we need to keep the people's feet to the fire, the elected officials' feet to the fire on this. The Republicans and the conservatives, the Tea Party people have sold out on Benghazi. What Benghazi represents is the fact that we are going to be engaged in another war. How does this relate to what we were just talking about? It relates to the attack against Christians, not just in the United States, but worldwide, because Christians in Syria, 4 million, are going to die. You can take that to the bank. If Clinton and Obama are successful, 4 million Christians in Syria will die.
Yeah.
This is a worldwide attack. This is a global attack on Christians and on Jews. And this will also have an effect on Israel, because it's going to spill over. It already has spilled over in Israel. And our best friends in the Middle East, Israel, are going to feel the effects of this as well. And anyone whose God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are targets. And you know what? DHS, as we told you yesterday, have targeted those of us who believe in that, in the one true God, as terrorists. And that's how it is. And it's going to be even worse when it goes global.
That's how the apostasy is turning up all over the world.
Yes.
People are hating God.
Yes.
They're giving in to Satan. And wickedness through greed and lust and temptation, not having self-control, not having the knowledge, the ability to understand what is more important, you know, watching your TV or and stuffing your face, or helping other people, spending your time, you know, volunteering or talking to people, simple things.
Let's do the simple thing.
And that's what I stated yesterday. We need to give up something we do. I mean, we all have habits.
Right.
Some of us have bad habits. Some of us are working to get rid of the bad habits. Some of us have gotten rid of the bad habits.
Yes.
But there's always room for improvement. And anybody who knows will tell you that. Nobody's perfect. But you can strive for perfection, and that will never end. And as the church has been infiltrated by evil influences, as we see across the United States, you got masses or church services in any denomination where it is an hour and a half service, and all of but 10 minutes is on a sermon. Most of it's singing, music, shaking hands, whatever. But now's not the time for that. We need to be disciplined. We should, today, in this day and age, seeing everything that has happened in such a fast time, the technology expansion, the expansion of the push for the global governance, the mandatory vaccinations, possibly the mark of the beast, the indoctrination of the churches, people should, even the congregation should have stepped up and changed things to the point where you go to church and you hear nothing but the sermon that it needs to be spoken that can save people. Instead, you hear love music. And yes, worshiping through music, I don't mind that. If, you know, that's how it makes you feel better. But when the
50% of the time spent in church is doing that. Are you really are you serving the purpose you're supposed to be doing at church? Are you really in the body of Christ? Would Jesus rather have 50 people sitting there singing for an hour or 50 people learning about the real ways things work, the real ways he wants you to live? And that's what's lacking, is the leadership in the church.
Right.
And it is because it has been infiltrated by the satanic element.
You know, how true is that?
I mean, people go to church to find women. People go to church for all the wrong reasons.
I never did that. But I know what you're saying. It's just for all the wrong reasons, and that covers it.
Right.
And then it paints obligation.
Right, and it puts the normalcy bias around these churches that, well, this is how you should do things, that when you see a real person on fire for God, they're extreme.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you for saying that. They're extreme.
But you don't watch TV? What's wrong with you? You don't like football? No, there's more important things. Well, there's time for everything. Well, no, there's not.
No.
Time is getting short, and time is going to be over. And when you have to answer to God, and he says, what did you do with your time? And you said, well, I watched football a lot. You're not going to like the answer you get back.
That's why I so appreciate the people who actually spend the time to invest their time, your time. You're listening to this program. Don't think for 1 minute, folks, that we don't appreciate your investment of time into this program, and we realize the responsibility to us that represents. I want to thank Rebecca for sending this email. Rebecca, thank you so much. She writes, "Hi, Doug and Joe. I recently discovered this website of Pastor David Langford and his revelations of the Sandy Hook tragedy. Go to the podcast archive and see thevoiceofevangelism.com. Now, folks, we've interviewed Pastor Langford. His website is thevoiceofevangelism.com. And she points us to Superstorm Sandy and the massacre at Sandy Hook, which was apparently, from the looks of it here, I haven't checked it out, but it was recorded on Monday, or this edition was Monday, December 17th, 2012. So if you have a chance and you're off time, definitely listen to the podcast from David Langford. Rebecca, thank you so much. Also, December 31st, 2012 is a very good program as well. She states, there's so much wrong with the evidence, more than you can imagine, she writes. And I had spoken to Pastor Langford the other day off air. We had talked for quite some time. He was very troubled by what he saw and what he knows, because this guy, Pastor Langford, had responded to many, 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 many incidents, including mass casualty events. And he said, look, there's just something not right with this. So, Rebecca, thank you so much for listening, and thank you certainly for that, folks, thevoiceofevangelism.com, and there's information about that. Also, an email from, you know what, I'm not even sure how to pronounce your name, and if I mispronounce it, I apologize, Betty or Biet. I'm sorry about the pronunciation. She writes, Seattle now has a gun buyback program. The comments are interesting. And I wonder just how many guns will be turned in. There is a Seattle gun buyback program. It's KOMO, KOMONews.com. That's KOMONews.com. That's a local station up there. Read the comments on that. And I want to thank you so much for that email. Joe, I felt it interesting that, and one thing too, you know what, I'm not going to get into this because this involves what we were talking about before the show about Steve's Q alert, or not Q alert, but the dreams and visions. I won't get into that email here. I've just got a whole bunch of emails from listeners, and I want to thank.
Yeah, we were supposed to read all the. We still have all our Christmas cards, and there are some awesome stuff I wanted. We didn't get a chance to read that. We had guests when we came back from that, and then we had the break, and
we'll read those.
Yes,
we'll get to those.
Yes, and we just want to thank everyone for the outpouring of support, and a couple of emails. The least I can do is acknowledge the listeners right now. I want to say hello to Karen in Rome. I want to say hello to Kay in Anchorage, Alaska. I want to say hello to Paul in, I believe this is Indianapolis, listening on an AM station that's streaming our program, and also Glenn. I'm trying to read what that says here. Glenn writes, love your show. Also want to let you know that I agree with you on Sandy Hook. Please don't let this die. Also, please don't stop investigating Benghazi. And that's Glenn from New Hampshire. So we got the country and even some international parts covered. And we're also right now, I want to say hello to Tamar in Jerusalem. So that said, we're up against the break. Guys, give us a call, 661-244-9839. We're going to take a very short break, come back, hit one or two news headlines, and take your calls. And so get in on in while you can. We only have a few on hold. 661-244-9839 is the number. We want to hear from you on whatever it is you'd like to talk to us about on this Tuesday, January 8th, 2013. I almost said 2012. We'll be right back after these short messages. Stay with us.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth squads specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
Hi folks, Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly, follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Doug Hagman, one guy that doesn't need a bullhorn to get your attention.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number three of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are going to go right to your calls at 661-244-9839 after one quick headline. Illinois House approves licenses for undocumented immigrants. The Illinois House on Tuesday approved legislation allowing undocumented immigrants to obtain temporary driver's license. The bill was okayed by a vote of 65-46 and now heads up to Governor Pat Quinn's desk for approval. Under the plan, drivers would get three-year licenses called temporary visitor licenses and will be required to take driver's education classes and carry car insurance.
So, wait, where was this again?
In Illinois. They voted to approve undocumented immigrants to obtain driver's license.
So illegal aliens or illegal people in this country illegally, they're counting them. But I thought you had to have identification for driver's license.
I don't have a problem with helping people in need. I have a problem with neglecting your own people and helping people who may or may not be in need or may not want to do things to help themselves and putting those people in favor of the people who are in need.
Well,
and this is I picked this article on purpose because it's go to the pattern of what we've been seeing, this pattern of waste, this mentality where people who aren't citizens of this nation have more rights and freedoms than the people who are citizens of this nation.
Well,
but anymore, I don't even want to be a part of this nation. So really, I don't care. If they want driver's license, let them have them. Our country's done anyway. Give them all licenses. Seriously.
Well,
who cares?
Yeah, I'm not there. You know, I believe in this. I believe that we can not take our country back, but I believe that we can right some wrongs and reinforce some positives here.
Hey, maybe
we need to do that.
Get enough immigrants in here, it'll move some of these, robotic, idiotic Americans out of their stupor. And wake up and realize what's happening in this world, and realize that their nation's gone.
Since you mentioned Illinois, I just want to sneak in this one thing here. I don't know whether folks you heard about this in Chicago. The Chicago Teachers Union. Did you hear about this? The union wants to fundamentally change America too. This is the Chicago.
Very good.
Well, now hold on. Wait until you hear this. The 2 years ago, a woman by the name of Karen Lewis was elected as the union president. Now, she's best known for mocking U.S. Senator of Education Ann Dunham's or Duncan's lisp. That's just cruel, by the way. And for taking on and defeating Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel in the district's first teacher strike in a generation. Anyway, here's what happened. CTU, the Chicago Teachers Union, have been on a victory lap of sorts since the September strikes, when with union activists seeing themselves as protectors of union power during a time of membership decline and education reform. Anyway, the heart of this story is this. When Lewis, remember Karen Lewis, the woman, the president of the teachers union, mocking the education secretary's lisp. Anyway, when she appeared at the Illinois Labor History Society's Salute to Labor Historic Heroes from the History Makers of the Day, she didn't disappoint the crowd. She threw gasoline onto the fire of class warfare and even mentioned mob killings of wealthy Americans. And here's her quote. "Do not think for a minute that the wealthy are ever going to allow you to legislate their riches away from them." Okay, I agree. We've got fascism here. Anyway, please understand that. However, we are in a moment where the wealthy, or where the wealth disparity in this country is very reminiscent of the robber baron ages. The labor unions of that time, though, were ready to kill. They were. They were just off with their heads. They were seriously talking about that. Now, some in her audience laughed and even clapped at that remark. Imagine that. Just imagine that. There's a video floating around on YouTube of that. But can you imagine? This is who we're leaving our children to, that mentality.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to the phones, as we have a lot of people on hold. And we thank you for your patience. We're going to go to area code 512 first. You've been on hold the longest. Thanks for calling. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Doug and Joe, good afternoon or good evening. Doug, I heard you on Rick Wiles, and it was very, very good.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, Rick's a great, great guy, and had a good time doing the interview.
I've enjoyed listening to him. Two things I would like to ask you about. One thing, ask you about. One thing, talk to you about. I've talked to my wife off and on about what I think's happening. It's just kind of been conversations here and there. But this weekend, it's my intention to have a heart-to-heart detailed talk with her. And I was just curious if you had an outline as to how to approach this. But I don't want to get into Illuminati, all this other stuff. Just a 30-minute discussion, 45-minute discussion about what I think is going to happen. And I was just curious if you had an outline of how to structure the phone, how to structure the call or the talk with her.
What a great question. Now, is your wife aware of, I mean, is she aware of things aren't quite right, or what's her status?
She's just on the very, very edge. She doesn't like what's going on, but I would say no. She doesn't like what's going on.
Many people are in the same position. I would just say this, and I don't think you're going to accomplish, you know, what you want to accomplish in a 30-minute discussion, but I think it's a good start.
It's a way to lay the groundwork,
yeah.
Plant the seed.
Personally, what, and I can tell you from experience, okay, just sit down over a cup of coffee and say, you know, have you noticed that things are just kind of out of whack and, things aren't right. You don't have to get very specific. You really don't have, I mean, certainly Illuminati wouldn't even enter into the conversation, but it would be something to the effect of, you know how much I care about you, I love you, and the fact that, you know, we've got a family, if you do, or whatever, we know our plans for the future, we're planning our future together, and part of our plans together for the future, we've got to be on the same page with things. And maybe the first sit down with over a cup of coffee or tea or whatever, maybe it might be just asking her what she thinks instead of telling her what you think. Maybe it might be, hey, what do you think? What do you see going on? And because people love, it's been my experience, people love to tell you what they think. And that way you can get a read on where she's at, or if you already know that, it reinforces that. But then use that to open and say, well, geez, you know, here's what's bothering me, and maybe you can help me with this. I see that, you know, maybe I see the economy having some trouble, and we're going to be forced to be paying higher food prices here in a couple of months, and you might even cite a few stories here or there and say, well, ask her, what do you think perhaps about maybe buying some extra food, you know, over the next couple of weeks, just to kind of hedge your bets and go that way. Stay away from the hyperbole and the stuff that's really drastic. Does that make sense to you in a way?
I've already been buying food. She's aware of it, and she knows why. There's some parts of it, and I don't want to make it out that she's completely ignorant. There's some parts of it that she is, but I've never really just had a detailed heart-to-heart. And I appreciate what you said, because that I my concern is hitting him with too much. So I think maybe this weekend, you know, it's kind of what do you think? Here's what concerns me. And then maybe next week or a couple weeks later, after it kind of sinks in, then we just take it a little bit further than that. So
little by little in increments, and get her feelings and see where she's coming from, because it's really a hard and very difficult concept, because there's just so much, and you can only talk about it for so long. But if there are bigger decisions, which you are referring to, you know, perhaps the purchase of metals, or or cashing out a 401k or something, whatever it might be, whatever the bigger decisions are, you can kind of gradually, work your way up to that. I certainly wouldn't open with that, but boy, if I had an outline, that would be great. But I think every person's situation is different. But it sounds like you've got a great head on your shoulders, and just by asking the question, I think that, you're further ahead than people who just kind of go in like a bull in a china shop and just go after it, without the necessary thought, the preparation. I don't know if that helps you.
No, it does. It really does. And it just pretty much confirms and reinforces what I was thinking. But, I mean, I would have gotten into a bit more than what I needed to. So, no. Trust me, that I appreciate it. The second thing I just want to comment briefly on is concerning Alex Jones and Piers Morgan. First of all, I want to say that I owe Alex Jones a lot of thanks, because if I had not started listening to him, I would not be listening to you, Max Kaiser, Gerald Swinty, and many other guests. I find him at most times difficult to listen to. So I don't listen to him much, but when he has guests, I do. But I think last night, CNN played him like a fiddle. They had him exactly where they wanted. They got exactly what they wanted out of him, and that is to come across as a stark, raving lunatic. And he played right into their hands, and I think he did more to help them and hurt the cause than he did to help the cause, because They played him like a fiddle, and he acted exactly like they wanted him to act. I realize he's passionate, but he could have handled it better and got the points across.
I agree that he could have handled it better, but, I've watched his show many times, and he acts like that by himself on his own show. He wasn't pretending to be something he wasn't, and I think it shocked a lot of the zombies that watch CNN to see a real person with real feelings and emotion. I do believe that he could have done a better job, stayed a little bit more composed. But when dealing with a communist, I'm not going to name call, when dealing with a little girl like Piers Morgan, somebody's got to get in this guy's face. There are better ways to do it, I agree. But the message had to get across.
Well, let me just add one thing, because I've been on I remember one particular interview that I did. This was not for Fox, but it was this was in a pretty big market television station. There are things that happen. Producers come up to you. Assistant producers, various people that you don't have a clue. Things are happening so fast around you. The only thing I can say to people is we don't really know what went on in the minutes before he went on air. You don't know what he was told. If somebody said, look, we want you to just come out of the gate swinging because that's what Piers Morgan wants you to do, because he's going to come out swinging as well. It makes for good tea. We don't know.
I said it yesterday.
That.
When he was on The View, it was the same thing. They know what they're doing. They know what they're getting into when they bring him on. And I believe the caller is right that they set him up, because they had people lined up against guns before him, and they had people lined up after him that were shooting him down.
and it was going to happen that way regardless of how he acted or what he said. But regardless, he got his message across, and I think Piers Morgan, I think less of Piers Morgan, you know, than Alex Jones, obviously. The guy is a lunatic, and Alex got some good points in there about the scandals he's facing and back in his own country. And why not go back to your own country? If you don't like guns, they don't have guns there. Get out of here.
Yeah, but the caller, I think you made a good point, because I've heard this multiple times today where
but it makes us look crazy.
Well,
that's what people say.
Yeah, well, there's probably about a year's worth of sound bites that can be taken from what happened last night to be used against the cause. And I think, caller, I think you're very observant and astute to say that, or, you know, to point that out. I don't know. You know, it's just, it's crazy. Everything's upside down and backwards. I don't know.
Yeah. But no.
Thank you very much.
Anytime.
God bless you, my friend. Good luck, by the way.
Take care. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, it's, you know, God bless anyone who is trying, who is doing their best and trying to, even with passion, even with unbridled and passion, to change things. Far be it from me at this point to say anything. Having been a guest on the show, I know he's you know,
the person standing up for the constitutional right to protect yourself. Well, you have the rest of the network and the people brought on trying to take those rights away.
But can you see the irony, though? And folks, I just want to point the irony out. I don't care, regardless of what was said, how it was said, regardless of who was there. You've got a British national. We fought the, you know, a war of independence.
A weaselly British national.
Well,
who is that?
It doesn't matter. But
no, it does matter, because he's not just some upstanding British citizen who came over here to be a news anchor. He got kicked out of his own country pretty much because he's a fraud.
All right. Well, even so, you've got.
And he goes on the communist news network.
You've got. Well, and you've got a British national that is over here lecturing us.
I mean, look at Ed Schultz. And his psycho crap, he goes on his rages on his TV show,
yeah,
and radio shows,
yes,
talking about lining Republicans up and shooting them in a ditch. Who talks about that? You know, where's the outrage there? But a man speaks from his heart on the, you know, in truth on it.
Oh, no, I agree.
The Constitution.
I agree with you.
I mean,
yeah,
it's just, I do see both sides of it, and three sides of it, really. But
I agree.
And if we talked about it, if we were going to talk about this tonight, because we don't want it to dominate the show.
No,
but we should get into it. And I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit tomorrow once we get more reaction.
But it's let me just, the only thing I can say is this. It's almost like being involved in a mass shooting event or an active shooting event. It's easy to sit here, you know, without the cameras rolling, without the lights and the, you know, however many people watch and all this stuff. To Monday morning quarterback, believe me, it's different in real life. It's different behind the camera, in front of the cameras. Speaking from my limited experience, there's just a lot of difference there. You know, things happen that it's almost like you're, you know, somebody sits in a chair and spins you before the interview. Your head spins. Now, having said that, well, that's all I'm going to say, but it's just different.
We're going to go to area code 505. Thanks for holding. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hello, is that me?
That's you.
Awesome. So nice to be on with you guys. I had a couple of things that I wanted to cover, so I'll just run through those real quick and then get off the air and make room for other people. I have a 3-year-old son, and as soon as I got pregnant, I just knew. But I went down to Planned Parenthood to go and get a urine analysis just to, you know, have the scientific proof and whatnot. So I go down there, and they have you fill out a little page, you know, with your personal information and have you check a couple of boxes. One of the questions was whether or not you were going to keep the child. So I checked yes. And when I got called to the back room, the lady, not only did she seem super excited, but she was, like, shocked that I wanted to keep the baby. This is, you know, the only experience I had ever had at Planned Parenthood, so it was kind of shocking for me, too. I was like, oh, well, that's weird. So I sit down with her, and, you know, I was there for resources, really, and to get the urine test. And so I started asking her about midwives. And she got real, real quiet, you know, and she started whispering to me and told me that she was not legally allowed to tell me about homeopathy or midwife facilities, but that she knew a couple of ladies and a couple of places I could go, and real, real quietly she gave me some referrals to midwives. So I thought that was really strange. On to the second theme. My son's father and I did end up breaking up, and we went and got a child support case started. He had made 5 payments. They were all on time, and they were all paid in full, but we were only getting partial payments. So I go down there, and I'm like, you know, what's going on? They tried to blame it on him. Oh, he didn't pay on time, this and that. Well, him and I get along. He gave me his financial statements. I went down there. I ended up going back and forth to that office 8,000 times, getting stonewalled, talking to supervisors. They lied to me on several occasions. I mean, it was crazy. I'm in their office. They're trying to tell me that 2 and 2 doesn't equal 4. And I'm like, how can this be happening? So I go up the whole corporate ladder to all their supervisors. I'm getting stonewalled there, too. The media won't touch it. I ended up calling the governor's office, sent them all the financial paperwork, and every stitch is, I kept getting different statements from the office that didn't match each other either. Hold on, love. And so, yeah, their statements weren't matching each other, so obviously their books were all weird. And so, finally, I'm sorry, my son is sick. So finally, I get a court case because I'm not getting anywhere with these people. So I get in there, and the judge tells me that she wants to reschedule the court case and tells me that I need to send the child support office and her a list of the laws that I was going to cite in my court case when we get it rescheduled so that she could brush up on the laws. This is a judge, mind you. And that all the 8,000 times I've already proven my case to the child support division, that I need to now make them aware, like pretty much lay out all my cards for my case and explain the law to these people who are supposed to know it, which is weird. So that court case is still pending. What I've discovered is that in trying to get all of these things addressed, people are scared to death to stand up against the state. So I'm like trying to fight this by myself. Well, in my research, I discovered that every dollar that is collected by the Child Support Division is then matched in state funding by the feds, by the federal government. So there's your incentive for corruption there. And then, on top of that, every one of those dollars collected is also ran through the Federal Reserve. Private child support payments from one parent to another are ran through the Federal Reserve. Like, what could be the reason for that, right? Totally weird.
Right.
Okay, so one more thing, and then I'll get off the line. Can you please? What I really appreciate about your show is that you guys present your arguments as logical, intelligent gentlemen. And you don't make people who are questioning the motives of government and authority, you don't make us look crazy. Not only does Alex Jones not always do the fact-checking he should, which is another reason I appreciate your guys' show, because you guys do fact-check before you make public statements, and that's very important. But also, you know, he shows up to peaceful rallies and makes a huge ruckus, and I just feel like even though he is right on a lot of points, and yes, I agree that the times of being nice is, you know, getting kind of hard. You push a dog into a corner and slap him around enough and they bite back. I get that. But I think that the reason he is so in the mainstream media, I think that he's allowed to be there because of the way that he presents himself, because he makes us look like crazy people. Because he, you know, like the last caller was talking about, because he makes us look bad. And, you know, I really don't appreciate it. And I'm not trying to slander anybody or be disrespectful. I'm just saying that I think that all of us would do better to conduct ourselves in a more logical and reasonable manner when we're presenting these arguments. You know, and like I said, I really appreciate that about your guys' show. Anyway, I'll get off the air so that other people can have a chance to talk.
Okay.
You know, I really appreciate your guys' show and you know, the fact that you guys stick to your beliefs. And it's kind of nice to have some long-distance fellowship with other Christians as well. So thanks again.
Well, thank you, and we appreciate your listenership and our best to your son. Hopefully he'll feel better. And, boy, I remember those days.
Oh, yeah, 3 years old and sick. It's not fun.
No, not at all. But one question I do have with the child support, do you have an attorney or are you doing this by yourself?
I don't need an attorney. I have this case nailed down. I did speak to an attorney who informed me that we did a bunch of case law studies. They have suffered little to no consequence for stealing from people. I mean, this is going on around the country, too, not just here in New Mexico. And they've actually, first of all, they have the power to seize people's bank accounts, put liens on their property, and they do it. And in a lot of these cases, there was a case, this other guy, he lives here in New Mexico, has a child here, and then he has a child in Arizona that he pays child support for. Well, he pays one payment that's automatically taken out of his paycheck to the New Mexico Child Support Board. They're supposed to take out X amount for the child here and then forward the rest to Arizona. They hadn't forwarded anything to Arizona for over a year. So Arizona issues a warrant for this man's arrest. And he can't do anything about it. There is no accountability whatsoever. These people, even whenever people win their court cases, they never get their money back. I mean, it's absolutely astounding. And like I said, I went up to all their supervisors. I've been stonewalled several times. The media won't touch it. The governor's office, obviously. I couldn't figure out why the governor's office wouldn't help me until I started doing research and found out that so much government funding comes from those collections, you know? And that's why they're, you know, keeping shady books and stuff, too, because the more they report, whether or not it's true that they collected that amount, if they report that they did, that's how much money they're going to get in government funding. So, and really, essentially, that comes down to the fact that they're stealing from little kids. And, you know, there's a lot of parents that aren't taking responsibility and paying their child support. My son's dad is. And for them to take advantage of him and me, and to be able to have the power to destroy a person's life,
yes,
it's of the utmost importance to keep clean books. And theirs are a mess. You can't even read them. And they're out-and-out liars, and they've been busted in it before. I have tape-recorded conversations of them lying to me. I mean, it's just totally ridiculous. I couldn't figure out how they could possibly be getting away with it. And it's because there's so many other agencies making money off of it.
Well, perhaps, you know, at some point, you know, and this is something to think about. You know, maybe you might be able to assist others in your position, and I know that there are many, many others based on your experiences. I would say that perhaps you could, you know, keep good documents as to what's going on, and then. Perhaps at some point in time, you know, you might be in a position to help others get through this minefield that you're experiencing.
I, in doing all the research to fight my own case, I downloaded and printed out all of the laws pertaining federally and to our state of New Mexico in regards to child support cases. Mine was very straightforward, but there are other cases that are infinitely more complicated that I downloaded the entire law for every single case that could ever be applied. So I do have that material, and so I started talking to people. I made a flyer, and I started talking to people and started talking to a lot of people off record about the issues that they were having. Now, not only are a lot of these people on other forms of assistance, such as food stamps and whatnot, so they don't want to question the state because they're dependent on the state. Obviously, that is their approach. But also, you know, my son's father and I get along. He gave me his financial records and things. Not everybody is in contact with the other parent. You know, so when they start telling you, oh, it's the other parent's fault, they're not paying or they're not doing this, they just have to accept that. I didn't. You know, I was able to get a hold of financial records and whatnot and you know, get a hold of the materials that I needed. But, I mean, they wouldn't let me bring my accountant in there. They wouldn't let me bring my mother in that office. No witnesses whatsoever. They told me I wasn't allowed to record the conversations, but I did anyway because I was sick of being lied to. Yet they send in three of their cronies to come in and double-talk you, team up on you, tell you things like, oh, well, clearly we're just not making any progress with you, and things like that, treating me like I'm stupid. Another thing was one of their accountants told me, oh, well, all we have to do to fix this is go into the computer and change the date of when the check cleared. And I'm like, dude, that's fraud. That's fraud. Did you just say that to me? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yep.
And what kills me is it's a well-documented, well-known problem. And like I said, it's not just here in New Mexico. This is going on throughout the state, and there are some cases where they start using child protective services against people and trying to take their children away. I mean, this stuff gets ugly. I ran across some really gnarly, weird things in my research and the stuff that happens to people. So I've documented my case very well in the paperwork, and like I said, I have a pending court date, so I am putting all of that documentation into three or four separate hands so that if I do end up facing any harassment or they start trying to mess with my son or something, that I have some sort of recourse, you know, that somebody knows something about what's going on other than me being out there by myself, because everybody's afraid to go up against the state or they don't have access to the information like the other financial records or whatever. So everybody's scared to death, you know, and I...
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, we'll cut you loose, but that's a problem that we've got to, that other people have to know about, that there's an issue taking place right now. And it's states all across America. People are in the same position as you're in. There's a lot of state-sanctioned exploitation of people in your position, and this is something that really needs to be exposed, and we really have to. And the use of child protective services against the parent or parents is now becoming an even larger problem. And when Obamacare comes into play, there will be an increase in CPS and Child Protective Services.
I've severed all my ties with the government completely. Severed our child support case. We have severed everything that has to do with the state. I've never really used credit cards or bank accounts or anything like that. And so, I'm pretty independent as far as that's concerned. They can't really do a whole lot to hurt me, but they could do something with, you know, threatening with child protective services or whatever. But, you know, I'm trying to cover my bases as much as I can and put that information into as many hands as possible so that if I do start getting harassed, it's not just me out there speaking out against it, you know, but it's
right.
Also other people familiar with it. So.
It sounds like you've got your bases covered, and I want to thank you and certainly give your son a big hug and do take care of him. I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for the call. We'll keep you in our prayers, and God bless you. Thank you for listening, and thanks for imparting the information to our listeners about what you're going through. It's a nightmare.
Well, thanks for listening to my rant. I really appreciate it. My heart goes out to anybody else in this situation, and you know, God bless. And thanks for fighting the good fight, you guys.
All right, you have a good night.
You as well. Bye.
Bye. All right, we're going to move right along. Area code 912. You're live on the Hagman Report.
Hey, Doug and Joe, it's Daniel.
Hey, Daniel. It's good to talk to you.
Actually, I wanted to go back to what y'all were talking about as far as the Connecticut shooting and the Aurora shooting, as well as the VTech shooting. All of them had, you know, they were under some type of psychological drug. And what I was thinking about was, I believe one of your guests had said something about this previously, but they were talking about how the word in the Bible for sorcery is pharmakia, which we get pharmacy and pharmaceuticals and things of that sort, as well as, you know, the symbol having the snake wrap around the staff and things of that have to do with the Kundalini spirit. And, you know, it has a lot of occulted evil, you know, codes within it. But I believe that those ones that actually, you know, was taking those drugs was able to be inflicted or maybe oppressed by these demonic entities. I don't know if you ever heard of Russ Bizdar. He does he specializes in SRA, satanic ritual abuse, and DID, dissociative identity disorder. And he explained
Russ was on
how
our
they
show
actually
a few weeks ago. Mr. Bizdar was on our show just a few weeks ago.
Okay, that was it. Okay. But he was explaining how, you know, they would split the personalities and they would actually attach a demonic entity towards one of the personalities. That's why these people can snap in and out of certain, you know, ways and be able to shoot children with no problem, you know, be able to do all those things. But all of them had that same problem. They all were on some type of drug. Now, I believe, you know, not just looking at it from a physical sense, but from a spiritual aspect, all of these things were demonic. They were evil. They were, you know, death, killing, and all the other things. But I believe they were all, you know, tied in together, you know, especially like you were talking about the Aurora shooting and then the Batman movie. And then, you know, they call that, well, some people call that front loading or lesser magic, where they'll show you what they're going to do in the movies and the TV shows and everything like that. I don't know if you ever heard of Lone Gunman that came on the TV in March of 2001, I believe. You ever heard of that?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and how they were actually talking about running these planes into the towers, and then a couple of months later it ended up happening right after that. You know, and then in the $20 bill, the twin towers blowing up in the $20 bill that was made way before the actual act happened. You know, all these other things. And also, I wanted to say something. Doug, you had said something about processes where they use more than one time. I believe, my personal belief, I think they were. As far as, like, Nimrod was the ruler of the whole world. This was the New World Order. If you look at it, you know, they had the same speech. They had the same currency as well as the same religion. And they were all fighting to build this Tower of Babel, which in Hebrew, Babel means door of God, and they wanted to go to war with God, you know. And so, you know, how God says that there's nothing new under the sun, everything repeats itself, you know, I believe those historical documents and things that have happened will happen again. So in a way, yeah, the prophecies are, you know, like twofold, you know, it can be used more than just one time because history repeats itself, you know, like the Hebrews, when they were in Egypt with the Pharaoh, and then Moses told them to let his people go, and the Exodus and all that other stuff, that same phrase that was used when God was talking about how he saved the Hebrews from the Egyptians, he talks about how he gave them wings and flew the and they had wings like an eagle and flew out away from, you know, the Pharaoh. You know, now we have in the Revelation that talks about, once again, the church having these wings and then fleeing into the wilderness. You know, once again, we see the same dilemma or the same characteristics just in a different time. So it's like we can actually, you know, look at the Bible and see what's going to happen because of what has already happened. You know, and the New World Order and, you know, all the different religions, you know, once you go into theology,
Caller, there is nothing new under the sun, you know, according to the Bible. There is nothing new under the sun. Yeah, and boy, you said a mouthful. You covered a lot of ground, my friend. You really did. No, man, I'll tell you what, it's all of this is important. And you mentioned one thing. If you notice the icon, the symbol, the medal for Obamacare,
I'm trying to recall now what they call that. You know, the snake around the stick for, what is that, for the medical profession?
Yes, yeah, the medicine.
And the eagles, the wings. If you look at the symbol for Obamacare, and you look at the Nazi, and I'm sorry to bring to make this connection or to bring this in, but there is some resemblance, some similarities between the two symbols, and it almost makes me believe that it's not accidental. You know, from the wingspan to the stars to the way the snake wraps around the staff, and it's just kind of creepy, if you will. But you know,
yeah,
so.
And I also if when he went to his Democrat convention back in 2008, when he said that he was going to run for president, his backdrop, the backdrop that he had, was actually the throne of Zeus. So if we actually look at him using that backdrop as his own, the throne of Zeus, which Zeus is, you know, not God, he's anti-God, which would make him Satan. You know, Zeus is the one that has the lightning in his hand, and, you know, Lucifer in Latin means light bearer. So right there we see Zeus holding light bearer, being that person, that deity, the all-knowing God or whatever, which is pretty much Satan. But you see him have the same exact backdrop, you know, right there in your face, you know, and he's on the throne of Zeus, saying that he's going to be the president and this, that, and the other. And there's so many different little backdrops where he makes himself seem he's so much more elevated than everyone else. And, you know, I get a lot of slack for this because my family, you know, they were like, oh, it's a black man and this, that, and the other. And I was in that whole era for a second. But then when you start looking at all the stuff he did, all the stuff he's doing, you know, the way that he carries himself, he's not for anybody, regardless, black, yellow, green, or yellow. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. He's just a puppet. And, you know, when you're starting to see his satanic ways through all the stuff that he does. You know, but I really just wanted to say those couple of things. But I appreciate y'all, and I hope you have a good night.
Thank you so much, Daniel. Once again, I made some excellent points. What a great phone call.
Yeah.
Sorry it took me so long to get to you. Hopefully we can get you back coming on and have a discussion about this, because the inauguration had a weird thing when Obama came there, basically got carried into a room and had some people come in, closed doors, and came out, was as described, as a different and new man.
Yes. And Nathan Leal, on Thursday, we're going to be talking about the upcoming inauguration and about the symbology. This caller, Daniel, mentioned about the symbology. There is so much symbology that if we pay attention, and I know people look at us and they say, some people, and they say, come on, are you serious? You're just trying to make something out of nothing. When in fact, yeah, we're serious, because the symbology is part of this, the part of the bigger lie, and you know,
it's the in your face subliminal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, it's right on the money. We're gonna move on here. Area code 250. We're coming to you next. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, Doug and Joe. It's Jeff from British Columbia, Canada. How you doing?
Good, sir. What's on your mind tonight?
Where do you start?
Where do you start?
Well, I mean, you know, you're an investigator, Doug and Joe, and I tend to think that when you investigate, you sometimes find a lot of coincidences and put them together. It starts to lead you down a path. And when I look at these shootings, I keep seeing young adults, young males, young kids, you know, a trend going on here. You know, this whole gun rage, I mean, if people were going around, you know, shooting up politicians, shooting up everything else, you know, then we really have to look at things. And but it's always kids. It's always young adults, people that live with their mom. You know, I really believe it is programming. It's they want to strike fear in the hearts of the women of the home. They've always used the women of the home to divide the family. And that's just another way to get the guns, is to fear the women. You know, what's more scary than your child taking a weapon, killing kids and killing you? You know, women see this and they're scared and they want their guns to go out of their home. They don't know any better. They don't, you know, this is the trend they're playing. They always play these trends of fear, and that's all it is. And right now we need women to stand up and say, no, keep the guns. You know, stand up to it. Stand up any way you can. I mean, I live in a place that's heavily Illuminati controlled for a long time through Masonry and Catholic Church, and wow, it gets pretty rough, guys. The medical systems, the government, corporate control, the facts, you know, even in BC here, we can't sue when the government does something wrong. There's no accountability. In the end of the day, you know, it's tough for everybody. But this isn't going to go away. This just really isn't going to go away.
No, it's really only going to get worse. And I think we have to be vigilant. Obviously we have to be vigilant, but we are entering into a time period that, unlike any other, although, as I mentioned earlier, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, history does repeat itself, but yet we as a collective society in this country have never seen what we're seeing today play out. And you know, it takes such utmost discernment, spiritual and intellectual discernment, right now, because boy, it would be so easy to go down the wrong path, and so easy to be tricked, and so easy to be deceived, and so easy to be, you know, we have to be careful, and we have to have that spiritual, biblical, godlike, godly discernment for the truth, and it's, I don't know, to me that's so important. And even take what we say, take it to prayer and take it to your own research, do what you think, you know, follow it through, because there's just so much going on.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, it's, well, with the whole discernment thing, you know, Jesus says that to enter into heaven, you have to be of the spirit of a child. And, you know, what I believe that means is, you know, you have to be a child seeking his parent, and your parent is God. God's your father. And you really do have to turn to him and let him guide you like you a child would let a parent guide him. You know, these people that go around and say, oh, well, I'm a Christian, I love God. I'm a Muslim, I love God. I'm a this, I love God. When you get to heaven, that's not going to work. It's not going to buy you a ticket. You know, you have to build that bond with God, and loving God is not something you say. It's a bond you build. You build the bond with God first. You become the child to the Father, and then the Father will give his love, and that love will build as the Father guides you through, you know, your journey, your life journey. And I honestly believe that's what he's talking about in that case.
Interesting. Yes. Yes. Very, very well said. All right. You know, enjoy British Columbia. And, of course, while you're in British Columbia, definitely pay our newest sponsors a visit there. And I don't know how close you're. British Columbia is a huge province. It's one of the bigger provinces, is it not?
Yeah. Yes, it is. And I'm on Vancouver Island, actually. I'm right. I'm just south of Campbell River, where your sponsor's at.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Gremlin Firearms in British Columbia. You know, pay them a visit and stop and say hello if you ever get around in that vicinity. But,
sure.
But thank you very much for your call. Interesting points of view, indeed.
Can I just make one quick point about the Alex Jones thing? I just want to say that no.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to say, you know, it's the first time I've ever seen in my lifetime somebody actually get on mainstream TV and bash their biggest sponsors right in their face. And I, you know, hats off to that man for doing that. And anybody that says he's in bed with Piers Morgan on this, good luck with that one. And, you know, for people.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to add to your comment. I saw more foreigners, people from the UK, from Australia, supporting what he was saying and saying how stupid, you know, the Americans are for calling them names and saying he's crazy. And actually, just to let you guys know, I received a tweet here from a friend, and this is from the real Alex Jones on Twitter. H.G. Basinger calls for Alex Jones' death on Piers Morgan, and Piers Morgan agrees.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, see, so it's so much for the protection of free speech. Goodness.
Yeah. Oh, that's and, insane. You know, well, people say that he's hurting the cause because he gets the way he does, but you got to realize this is a man that, you know, he sees the end game in everything that he says. Every time he opens his mouth, he sees the end game. And he's been doing this for a long time, from what I understand. And, you know, you try getting up there in front of millions of people on a mainstream in the heart of the lion and try to keep your calm when they try to tow you down a road of deception. It's not going to happen, people. And you know, for the people that just turn off the TV and say, oh, well, he's just a crazy guy, he's just a madman. Well, those people, you're not going to wake up. God needs to wake those people up. So forget about it. Forget about those, you know, few million that won't wake up. If they're not going to wake up, they're not going to wake up. At least Alex is giving a lot of the rest of us hope that, you know, somebody is out there calling a spade a spade.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, believe me, sitting in the hot seat is much different than sitting in a Monday morning quarterback chair. And I think that, it's, you know, it is something that he got a lot of. I was amazed. Somebody had presented a list of the, ticked off a list of what he had snuck in or really didn't sneak in, but, you know, pushed into the conversation. He covered a lot of ground, I'll tell you. Regardless of how the message was wrapped, the message, you know, there were a lot of things that he touched upon. But that said, you know, you're going to have detractors. Like, we have detractors, we've got supporters. But the way I look at it, too, right now, how would the founding fathers or one of the founding fathers react to the tyranny which we're exposed to right now? I'm sure, and back then, back in the 1700s, you know, people think it was all very respectful and all very, you know, stand-up-ish. And there were some raucous events with our founding fathers. So it would, you know, it's not anything new. To be sure, but good points, very good points, caller.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
Move on, guys. Thanks for the show. Thank you.
God bless you, man.
God bless you.
We're still having some sound issues. I can tell you this: my ears are bleeding from the
because you get your volume jacked up all the way. We got about 2 minutes left. Jason wants to sneak in a quick word.
Jason,
on hold
Jason
for an hour. Real quick. You got about a minute.
Yeah, you can close us out, buddy.
Okay, God bless you guys. Thanks for taking my call. You hear me okay?
Yep, oh, sure.
Okay, perfect. I just want to say this quick.
We can hear your thoughts.
Okay, gotcha, brother. I just want to – your previous callers tonight that were talking about Alex and Piers were dead on. The way he presented himself, he made himself look schizophrenic. And this is very bad for us, guys, because I got InfoWars stickers all over the back of my car. And now people are going to view our views as crazy because of the way he presented it. He woke me up. I love him with all my heart. But the way this was done was not good, guys. So I just want to – I love Alex. I'm going to continue supporting him. But I'm going to do it a little bit more cautiously now, because what happened last night, if you watch that program start to finish, it looks like a psyop to set up the Civil War. the way it was presented. So that's what I got to say tonight, guys, and God bless you. God bless your show.
Oh, wait,
I love you guys.
Jason,
go ahead.
My friend, you said it looked like a psyop to set up a civil war. Couldn't it have been?
Well, that's what I'm – Doug, I'm telling you right now, brother, I love Alex Jones with all my heart. If it wasn't for that man, I would have never woke up. I probably would have voted for Obama. So I love him.
No,
he woke me up, but –
But what I'm saying, though, is is it possible that Alex Jones walked in there and was kind of blindsided and they set that up and the end result
yes.
was, you know, okay.
That's what I pray the case is, Doug, and that Alex wasn't a psyop from the beginning himself, because a lot of people claim that. And I've defended him with all my heart, but it's just chilling to see that. If you rewatch that program, it really feels like a government psyop to set things up. So,
well, Jason, God bless you, my friend. We're up against the close of the show. I want to thank everyone for listening. Thank you very much for putting up with us for 3 hours. We hope that you got something from tonight's program.
And we'll have more on Jones and what our breakdown is on that tomorrow. I do want to say some things on that we didn't get to today. But thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thanks for your calls. We love each and every one of you. We'll see you here tomorrow. And then we have guests for the rest of the week, including Sunday.
Good night.